Blog Talk Radio.
I'm part of the machine, I'm a mighty music maniac. Just give me a minute, I'll murder a mic and make a track. An intellectual motherfucker, a brainiac. Pissing people off cause I'm probably just a crazy cat. I work hard just for you to have a listen. Swinging like a wrecking ball, focused on the mission. I'm taking over, the machine's fully powered up. Stomping on a hater, see you later, you're a coward.
Yup,
why you bluffing? You got nothing on me or my team. Nope, this ain't a dream, we will make it and blow up the scene. If you don't, I'ma pull up my hair and I'll scream. Beam for the mic and I'm making it big, guaranteed. We're indestructible, sorry, it's just the way it is. Don't get in my way or I'll snap you and have a baby rib. It's really easy, you don't wanna go and make me piss. Thinking you can stop us from shining as fucking
crazy. Hard work is barely seen, but that don't make it non-exist. It's behind the scenes that defines what an artist is. This is a machine, and we're just a part of it. This is a machine, and you are just a part of it. Though it may seem you're alone in a dark abyss, by any means, set a goal and accomplish it. This is a machine, and we're just a part of it. This is a machine, and you are just a part of it.
Locked within these four walls, they contain me. Zoned out, microphone out till it drains me. When the beat drops, this is not the same. We hallucinating like I'm playing through the same dream. Kill it, but I'm still chasing. Till it illuminates, that's the fire raging. Keep the pace up, gears grind harder. Push it to the trend line, then go farther. Don't stop, I can't tie down. Gave me too much just to put it right down. The grit in my voice and the sweat on my brow. It's a passion to last, never chances to wanna see it break down. Why you lay down with the same sound? Which against the grain, so we stay loud. Never shame in the frame, the vision looking too proud.
Hard work is barely seen, but that don't make it not exist. It's behind the scenes that defines what an artist is. This is a machine, and we're just a part of it. This is a machine, and you are just a part of it. Though it may seem you're alone in a dark abyss, by any means, set a goal and accomplish it. This is a machine, and we're just a part of it. This is a machine, and you are just a part of it. I'm in this room alone again, head in my headphones again. Won't stop, door locked to hold me in. Half done, completion is what the motive is. In my mind I'm appreciating the loneliness. Time alone is something needed to find the zone. I condone falling in love with the microphone. Sights unknown drive me to let my eyes behold a better life controlled by my talent and mine alone. That's why I keep the machine in complete working order, by giving you more when you thought that the work was over. Universal design, I'm the perfect soldier. When my click is aligned, we harder than brick and mortar. I'd rather be waterboarded than never stop and forfeit. After I've been through all this bullshit, it's time that I'm awarded. Lies distorted people's perceptions of me, and I just wanna show them where my heart is by letting it show when I'm performing. Hard work is barely seen, but that don't make it not exist. It's behind the scenes that defines what an artist is. This is a machine, and we're just a part of it. This is a machine, and you are just a part of it. Though it may seem you're alone in a dark abyss, by any means, set a goal and accomplish it. This is a machine, and we're just a part of it. This is a machine, and you are just a part of it. Hard work is barely seen, but that don't make it not exist. It's behind the scenes that defines what an artist is. This is a machine, and we're just a part of it. This is a machine, and you are just a part of it. Though it may seem you're alone in a dark abyss, by any means, set a goal and accomplish it. This is a machine, and we're just a part of it. This is a machine, and you are just a part of it.
Yo, what's good, motherfuckers? Welcome to Juggle Riot Radio with your host, Psycho Killer, and co-host, OG, and Havoc's coming tonight. And what up, we're going to be interviewing Gruesome tonight with Combine and Bloke C. So how about we get a new track by them while we wait them to call in. And Damn Soundboard Bros. God damn it, Blog Talk. So here we go with one sec. Let's reel it up. We're going to go with Bipolar Groove.
Now to embrace my instabilities. At least I'm dope and you just blow. Do you feel the breeze? Nobody knows the definition of a real MC. Neither do I, I'm just saying shit that seems real to me. Cycles, they will repeat. I know I'm still a beast. A wildebeest when I kill a beat. Bet you feel the heat. Still never will retreat. Fill up that swish of sweet. Ask my permission please to rap because that shit is weak. Tell me to go but then they bitching because they missing me. At least I know now exactly where my position be. And they can't lie about it now, I know they're listening. My style's glistening, shining just like a Christmas tree. And if they're pissed at me, fine, that's how the shit can be. Me, I was built and designed to be this big machine. But now let's stop and rewind, show you this trick for free. I'm on the final bar and I'm still rhyming instabilities. What the fuck? They look at me like I'm a bit different. And I know they ride. But I say throw away all the differences and come along for a ride. I had to teach myself how to live with this. Soon it'll be alright. What am I supposed to do? I said, what am I supposed to do? Bipolar groove. My moods are flip-flopping, I'm sorry that I can't control it. My temper's mad explosive, I guess I just have to own it. Work on my craft and hone it, learn how to grab the moment. Soon they gon' have to notice the way I move past opponents. They got me laughing when they acting like they have a motive to go attack them, but they lacking and they have to know it. Let's take it back to when these cats all saw that packed explosive. But now they rapping, so they acting like a pack of vultures. Think they can battle rappers, but actually can't, they posers. But they still battle rappers and hope for that fan exposure. But then they rap atrocious, hoping the fans don't notice. And I sit back, take notes, and point out how their act is bogus. They fabricating beef with rappers to attract some sales. But I can sense the desperation, cause they can't prevail. Running in circles like a cat trying to catch their tail. While I'm making music for my fans because I actually care. Yeah. They look at me like I'm a bit different. And I know they ride. But I say throw away all the differences and come along for a ride. I had to teach myself how to live with this. Soon it'll be alright. What am I supposed to do? I said, what am I supposed to do? Bipolar groove. They look at me like I'm a bit different. And I know they ride. But I say throw away all the differences and come along for a ride. I had to teach myself how to live with this. Soon it'll be alright. What am I supposed to do? I said, what am I supposed to do? Bipolar groove.
All right. And we are back. And Gruesome Comic Book See should be called in like any minute now. What up, 563? Is this Gruesome?
Sure is.
Hell yeah, man. So, what up? So, how did you guys, like, first get into music?
How did we get into music? Mine was, as for rap and stuff, I'm from a real small town in Iowa called Hopkinton. And what happened was some guys had moved there, 8-Ball Loke and his brother Wino. They moved there from Vegas, and I started hanging out with them, and really all they ever did, like, in their spare time was they'd kick it, and they'd drink, they'd smoke, and they'd freestyle. So I just kind of got into freestyling with those guys like that.
Well, hi, this is Columbine. I actually started off when I was 16. I had this really, really pimped out red Cavalier. It was pissed.
Pimped out Cavalier.
Yeah, it was nice. And it was, so my stereo got stolen twice. So I actually, I didn't have a stereo for months. So I just started turning my windshield wiper blades on and then the rest is all history, man. And now I'm making music and been rapping the freaking windshield wiper blade since 93.
So.
This is Blow C. I started off back in like 97, something like that. It was me and another guy I went to high school with. Just one night we were at a party, started, you know, busting out flows, and I'd already been rapping for a little bit, just for fun, nothing serious. And then I ended up linking up with him and just kind of went from there up until now.
Okay, cool. Grissom, the one host of the show basically wants me to ask, what was it like to work with Malachi Macabre, who's like one of our homies on the show?
Oh, it's not really like when I do a lot of these collabs and shit. They're always fun, but I mean, like, most of these ones I do with, like, people, you know, are long distance. So it's like I never really get the chance to do more than be like, hey, you know, what's the topic of the song? What are we doing? And then, you know, I just go work on it in a little room all by myself in my house and shit. So, I mean, I'm sure it was fun. I do a lot of them. But I do pretty much every day. I do, like, 2-3 collabs. That's kind of, you know, that's how I make most of my income, actually, so.
I get you.
It's a different process than you think it would be. Like, it looks cool from a distance, but really it's like, you know, I get verses and I sit in the same room that I get them in and I write them and then I record them in that same room and then I send them to the dude. So I'm pretty much like a hermit. I'm just like a rapping hermit and shit.
But
what's up,
you.
Man? You jumped right into questions with us. We didn't even get a chance to say what's up. What's going on, bro?
Yeah, what's up?
Well, basically, we kind of jump into the questions like right away and just like go with it, you know, through the whole show with the interview.
Gotcha.
I mean, because like we've actually had Arsev left during, you know, we played one of the tracks and, you know, stuff like that. So I mean, no, we just kind of like jump into it and just, you know, do that in most of the show usually.
It's all good. I just wanted to say what's up, Tom.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Not much.
How
chilling,
you doing?
Drinking. No, I'm fine.
Good deal.
Chilling, drinking Natty Ice.
Natty Ice.
Dude,
you're living the fucking life tonight, bro.
You want a hangover. You want to get drunk.
Yeah. Besides that, just, you know, chilling and doing this.
Yeah. We've all drank Natty Ice, dude.
we've all been to the Natty Ice Island.
Yeah, I only got into it because Green Villain got me into it.
Oh yeah, I've never drank
Natty
Ice with Green Villain. I think we mostly always drank liquor when I was with that dude.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of nuts though. He's a cool dude, but
yeah.
He's nuts.
He's like the fun nuts though. He's not like, you know.
Yeah.
He's loyal and he's fun to kick it with.
Yeah, like Greeny. He's a cool dude.
Yeah, I
wish he'd stay out of trouble so he could be more of a cooler dude. You know what I mean?
What's that?
I wish he
exactly.
Could stay out of trouble,
I mean,
be more of a cooler dude.
I was like hyped up for his CD I Am Horrorcore, which now it's like, okay, 18 months later.
Yeah, because he has
a
potential, you know, if he just, you know, if he stays out of trouble, and I hope he does.
Yeah.
Yep. So, do you guys have any advice for like up and coming artists?
Personally, I would say jerk off as much as you possibly can. No, just if you're gonna make music, if you have a passion for it and you enjoy what you do, regardless of what anybody thinks about it, somebody out there will enjoy it. Somebody else besides yourself will enjoy it as well. But as long as you enjoy it, keep doing it, keep working hard at it, and have fun, and practice makes perfect. It's just like everything else in life.
Right.
You know, you get better. You know, if you're a football player, you know, you're not good when you're in, you know, in your middle school, but you keep playing for 25 years, you're probably going to end up going to the NFL or college or something because you work hard at it. Same thing with music.
Right. You'll get whatever, like, if you're making music and, I mean, the hard thing is to be critical. Be as critical with your own music as you would be of other people's. There's a lot of people that kind of have the blinders on and they don't look at their stuff in the same perspective as they do other people's stuff. You know, show it to a lot of people, get honest, unbiased opinions. And, I mean, also, though, you're only going to get what you put into it. So if you're willing to work your ass off and do music all the fucking time, you'll get shit out of it. If you're not willing to do that, then you won't. That's really all there is to it.
I get you on that. So,
but
here's one of the random questions that we like to ask people. Because, you know, mm-hmm. every interview, they don't have to have our own random questions. So, if we were to get too high, give you $75, put you in the middle of a Walmart with no food and no drink available, what would you buy?
If I was high in a Walmart and the whole, like, supermarket section was cut off, what would I buy?
Pretty much.
I would
$75.
Buy... I'm really high. I got $75. I'd spend 20 of it on, like, a WrestleMania DVD or something. I would get lost looking at movies, and the only shit I ever think of buying is, like, oh, there's, like, a CM Punk documentary. So I'd probably drop, like, 20 on a DVD. I'd get a pair of shoes. I just bought a pair of shoes at Walmart the other day for $20, a pair of FUBU shoes. They're dope as fuck. So we're at 40. I got kicks. I got a movie. I can't get food. That's what's fucking with. That's like the main thing at Walmart is food. I don't know. If I'm high wandering around, I might just, you know, pick my kid up some toys or something. That's always a good move. Stop and get him like some fucking Wreck-It Ralph gloves, those big fists or something. You know? Definitely no clothes because I'm fucking big and they don't make clothes for big people at Walmart. So yeah, shoes and movies. That'd probably be the extent of it. No music because they edit all their shit there.
I would be smart about it. I would take that $75 and I walk right up to the front and buy a $75 gift card. I come back when I want to buy something.
Wait till the food cart opens and then come back later with my gift card. That's way better.
Nice.
I got a pair of FUBUs and the Wreck-It Ralph gloves and you got fucking nachos tomorrow.
Yep. Fuck yeah. A pretzel.
What about you, bloke?
I would probably buy a carton of smokes and a
smart
bag of socks.
Yeah, but Walmart smokes.
You can get a lot of bags of socks.
Oh, man, let me retract my statement. I think I would buy $75 worth of socks.
There's a gift to keep on giving.
Especially clean, brand new.
Yes, there's nothing better in the world than putting on a brand new pair of socks.
No lie, we've had the sock conversation before.
Yes,
we just thought about what if we were rich, we'd never wear the same pair of socks twice, ever.
Throw them in a fucking trash can.
Nice.
Nice.
So,
sorry.
It's fine. So basically, I like every horror movie icon, like, you know, Jason Voorhees, like Freddy, Michael Myers, like basically all the horror movie icons, like, if you could have one of those motherfuckers like on stage with you during a concert, who would it be and why?
Yo, okay, it wouldn't be anyone that's going to try and kill me the whole time. So it had to be like Ash from Evil Dead, like someone up there who's going to guard my shit with the big chainsaw arm and shit, right? Because you got Jason Voorhees on stage, the show's going to be horrible. He's going to be killing everybody. He's going to look awesome, but he's going to kill everybody. My favorite of all of them is probably Voorhees or... Yeah, like the Evil Dead movies and shit. I love Ash, so it's probably Ash for me.
I'd probably be fucking up there fucking throwing Chucky around and shit.
He's dying.
Hell yeah, throw that motherfucker out in the crowd, watch him crowd surf a little bit. No, but if I really had to pick what I would think would be cool is just to rock out and fucking Leatherface up there, just fucking running the chainsaw while we're fucking killing it. That'd be cool.
Nice.
And you, bloke?
I don't know. I don't know on that one.
Bloke's not hardcore.
he's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. That guy's awesome. Get down.
Okay, so here's one of the other random questions we always like asking people. If you could, would you fuck a zombie prostitute?
Would I fuck a zombie prostitute? If I could, like, if you say if I could, does that mean I'm getting away with it, or is there, like, a chance I'm getting infected? Well, you get the zombie shit through your dick, is what I'm saying.
I can't believe you've asked this question.
I've never been asked this one. First off, it depends how long she's been dead, because if it doesn't even look like people anymore, then I don't want to fuck it, right?
Yeah.
I say if it's pretty fresh and I can get away with it, fucking no.
No.
Dead.
No, she's dead.
She's still just going to try and you know, turn me into a zombie the whole time. So that could be fun.
I would. It just depends on who it was. I mean, if it was like freaking Megan Fox. I mean,
like Megan. Okay.
I probably would.
You changed the
zombie.
Whole landscape of the question now.
yeah.
I definitely fuck the Megan Fox prostitute
zombie.
I would definitely fuck that one. If it was like 24 hours or less.
So that means you have to pay for the zombie?
Do you pay for the zombie
pussy? Yeah, because it's a prostitute, so.
There's like the dude that pimps out zombie bitches somewhere. That's all he does.
That'd be a face down, ass up situation.
Your fucking leg fell off, bitch. Oh my god.
What if it's like the chick from the opening sequence of Walking Dead, where it's only half a chick?
That would be kind of cool. Get up in the guts. Yeah.
Yeah, I probably. It, depending on circumstances, if it's fresh, it's attractive, then totally, yeah, I would. As long as my girlfriend is okay with it.
So, what would you guys say was like the weirdest experience you've ever had at a show?
Weirdest experience at a show. I don't know. Was it the time that you high-fived that little kid when we were in the middle of singing?
Absolutely.
Yes, no doubt. That is by far the most awkward ever in the world.
You should tell the story. Come on, tell the whole story. Well, I'm trying to remember the exact, what was the...
It was the outdoor show in Minnesota.
What song was it?
It was Homewrecker.
Yeah,
Homewrecker. In your hair tonight.
And when I was bust a fat ass in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm singing Gru's ad-libs for the song and at a show. And I'm not even thinking because this has got like an all-ages show and we're doing the song. And I go and high-five this little boy right on the side of the stage and said, at the same time said, bust the fat ass nut in your hair, girl.
Wow.
I just stopped and was just like, man, did I really do it?
It's just unfortunate because it was unavoidable. There were too many kids there. They were all up front.
Man, it was just, I can't believe
it
happened.
And it was in a bar, but they didn't tell us the show was outside, so anybody could come. It's all ages. There was little kids there high-fiving us while we're singing about, you know, fucking people's girlfriends and shit. That was definitely probably the weirdest in general because it was a mixture of toddlers and old drunk parents. Is what it was. The whole crowd was
amazing. Yeah, I haven't had a lot of really weird incidents.
Me neither.
You know, but that's definitely one that sticks out because that's just something you're like, I hope that shit wasn't on film.
Right. But now we just told everybody, so.
Yep, so now you know. But that was all made up make-believe stories.
Bloke, you got any weird?
I don't know about weird, but crazy, that Clinton show when the fucking security guard was all strapped and trying to start fights with everybody.
That was just a bad show.
Yeah, that was. I would say it was not more or less, it wasn't weird, it was more life-threatening a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he grabs a gun and he's a security guard thinking he's Barney Badass because he's wasted drunk. But he's just this little fucking bar security dude. And he's just, you know what I mean? He's not nobody. And he's just out there fucking pointing guns at people. Who did he point it at?
I don't remember who he pointed it at exactly.
I
missed a lot of it. I just remember he was kicking anybody out who was outside smoking a cigarette.
Like, you get fucking inside now. He's like, you don't smoke outside. He's like, we can't smoke cigarettes outside? Like, really? Is this really you trying to tell us we can't smoke outside? And then he just got really upset and kept the gun shit going on. But he never killed anybody.
Right. No. It wasn't really that weird. It was just a bad show in general.
I think he might have got fired because he was gone later on.
And another weird one was actually not really weird, but still kind of cool, I think, was when... the same place, Clinton, we had a show there a different time, and fucking this motherfucker, bloke starts rapping, and freaking his fucking, all of a sudden the fire alarms go off in the whole entire place. Everyone had to like clear out, man. His fucking set was on fire, literally. It was dope.
I think that's actually on YouTube.
The fire alarm going off is on YouTube?
So, yeah.
Google that, everybody.
Google it.
Okay, so let me see. So do you guys have, like, any rituals that you do before you perform, like, at a show or, like, before you, like, record a song?
I kill miniature horses.
I'm not trying to ride
awesome.
them. If you guys didn't know, that was a fat joke. it was a casual male XL joke.
Hey, man, don't be talking shit about fucking Destination XL. The place where it's at.
Ritual. No, I don't really have a ritual, man. I try to stay sober nowadays because I've embarrassed myself a lot being drunk in the past, like laying down and dry humping the air or trying to stage dive and blowing my knee out and shit. So I just try my ritual is stay sober and try and remember the words to your songs. That's like my whole ritual.
I don't really have a designated ritual, but I got something that I do more times than other. I have like two Crown and Cokes or Crown and cranberry juices. It's just enough to loosen you up just a little bit without, you know, getting too overboard to the point where I want to jump off of stages and break my knee and air hump, you know. I'm 350 pounds, air hump, it would be cool looking, but I don't want to do it.
And you blokes.
First I go in the bathroom and I practice air humping in the mirror. And then I go take 6 tequila shots and then
damn.
A big fat
and then you perfect air humping. Immediately after.
No, I don't know. I like to have a few beers and possibly elevate my mind a little bit beforehand.
Right.
Nothing more than that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we aren't that weird. We just get up there and rap, pretty much. We do our thing, though.
Nice. So how would you all say that you have grown from your first track till now?
Man... Indefinitely. You can't even measure the difference, like, in my first track ever, which was, recorded, through some program that came with a computer that I had at one point. And it was just, like, me freestyling over, like, the Nas one mic beat or something to now. I mean, everything is better now from writing to... You know, I didn't even know how to put together a song when I first started. I didn't understand, you know, how to count bars and anything about actually making music. So it's not even comparable what I do now to that first song.
Same here. When I first started recording stuff, I actually used a CD burner. And what I did to layer up my vocals was I would lay down the whole track in one take, finalize that CD, take it out, put it in a different CD player, and then pop another burnable CD into the CD burner, and then layer my vocals. And
fucking genius.
If he told me about that one time,
crazy,
and I was like,
I didn't even know, you know, anything about computer programs for recording. That's what I had, and I made it work.
Right.
And it's crazy. I go through so many CDs, though, and they'd all have just, like, one song on them. But, yeah, from then till now, I mean, yeah, it's just...
See, I was kind of different. I I went and spent a whole bunch of money and did it the wrong way, you know, and bought a bunch of nice, had a Roland CD XL1 and had that, and then I spent the money building an entire booth, you know, with the plexiglass and everything, you know, just spent all this loot doing it, bought a freaking MPC, 3000? It was like 2 G's for it, and did that,
wow.
Bought that, and I didn't even know how to do anything. And I just never, you know, at that time, it was just like, I don't know how to do any of this stuff. So I just started making some, you know, weaker music. And then I realized that I don't need to put all that money into it. You know what I mean? There's places I can go and I can get this done, you know, go to studios. And then until, you know,
right.
I kind of, you know, collabed with you and started making stuff with you. But it was just too ahead of my time, you know what I mean? So it sounded really horrible. I couldn't really I didn't know how to use anything. But then now it's a whole different story because I realized less is more. It really is. I mean, you can record in your fucking bathroom.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore. I mean, look at Lil Jon's shit. He records in his bedroom with a fucking mattress on the side of the wall.
Right.
That's all you need. It really is.
Yeah,
and then everything is after part, you know, after work, after you make the music.
Yeah. My first, like, real album, when I actually was going down to Kansas City, half of it we recorded in Chapman Studios, which is, like, where the like Tech N9ne and them were working there at the time. And then the other half of it, we just tracked vocals in Matt's bedroom, and we just had sound like three soundboards like strategically placed in the room, and it made it sound like a booth in his bedroom. So anything really, but we have gone off track now, haven't we? We rambled way out of that question.
It's fine.
Well, I used to be whack, but now I'm good.
Yeah,
I used to suck. Now I think I'm done with it.
So, what would you guys say was your favorite venue to perform in, and why?
The Minnesota one, Station. Is it Station 4?
Yeah, I would say it's
Station 4.
A good place.
It's real well put together. It works well for all ages shows because there's a way of separation between where the bar area is and where the actual music stage is. The stage is a good size.
It's kind of like
it's a dope venue, man. Especially when you get people, a good amount of people in there. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's like I love the other room house cut off because it's almost like an outdoor venue, but it's indoors. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's a whole second venue. You can't go in the other door if you're not 21, and I like that a lot. Plus, I mean, Minnesota, regardless of where the venue at, is fucking fun. Every single time we ever go to Minnesota, that is by far the best state I've performed in, and every time we're there, people are just, you know, they're very, you know, caring and loving to our music. And other places, like even in our home state, it's not a very good place. Iowa is kind of retarded for music.
Not music, for our music.
No, for our music, rappers
in Iowa, you know.
Yeah, unless you're like a cover
heavy metal or something.
Yeah, if we made heavy metal, if we were like a cover band, or you know, if we were country, we'd probably be blown up in this here in Iowa. But then all of a sudden, we just travel about 3 or 4 hours, and boom.
Yeah. Minnesota venue, Station
4. Yep, Station 4. Google it. They have all kinds of different shows besides us. They're all the time. Sick Fucks do shit all the time.
Yeah, that's Jimmy Don's dude that runs my label, Sick Fucks, my buddy Jimmy Don. That's where they throw a majority of their shows. They have that Chris Calico and Stevie Stone tour coming through there soon, actually. If you're up there, go check it out.
I would, but I'm the way in Pennsylvania.
You're in Pennsylvania? I'm hoping to go there. I'm trying to get there, man. We're doing a tour, I think, this fall with Liquid Assassin and then Dope Sick and Lazy J. We're hitting the road. So I'm hoping to get out there, man. I have a lot of people, like, of all the places that I have people hit me up and want me to go, I'd say Pennsylvania is probably the most common place that people hit me up and try and get me to go. So
I got a question for you real quick. Are you, since you're from PA, are you Eagles or Steelers?
Actually, I don't really care about those two teams at all. I've always liked the Detroit Lions for some reason.
All right, I just let you know that officially, regardless of whatever you say, even if you call me names and stuff, you've now became the best interviewer I've ever had. So thank you very much. Yeah. Bottom line, we're diehard Detroit Lion fans, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of amazing.
It's closer to, like, the, you know, Eagles Stadium and whatnot, which, I mean, the only thing dope that's coming up there is that, like, in July, like, the night after the Loke show and Moz or whatever, like, they have the, like, Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which is going to be dope as hell to see live.
Oh, man. We never get any shit like that out here, man. I would love to go to a WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah, we get, like, the WWE, the Wednesday night show.
The off-television
yes.
where it's, like, Kofi Kingston versus Antonio Cesaro for the 800th time. That's the show we can go see. So, yeah, if you don't go to Money in the Bank, though, I'm going to be mad at you because that's an awesome opportunity.
I already have my ticket
so
for it,
much
so...
Fun.
Oh,
yeah. I got my ticket.
You're good, dude. You like the Lions. You're in the WWE.
Hey, I don't even know who I'm talking to because we got right into it so quick I didn't even get to introduce myself or nothing.
Chris is your name?
Well, yeah, Chris. I'm one co-host. I got my artist name, Psycho Killa, on here.
Psycho Killa. Do you have me on Facebook? This is Combine.
I think I might have you on there.
You should message me, man. Because
you guys are about to be best friends, bro.
You're a Lions fan, dude. So I mean,
yeah, it'll be fun once the season starts to kind of talk.
talk football with you and shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I got you on there.
I'm gonna go piss real quick.
Okay. So, Gruesome, I'm gonna ask you a question quickly. So, was it like being part of Mission Infect? And like, which version did you like better, the first time you were on it or the second?
Mission Infect the first time was awesome. Like, I was young, you know. I really had never had a big group of artists I thought were talented like that to work with before. It was awesome that first go around. I think we had really good momentum going. I think word spread really well. I think that if it hadn't gone to shit, I think it could have been something really crazy, you know? I always had like a lot of faith in that first run when it was like me, Loke, and Luck, and you know, Wicked One, and you know, the dudes that did the Chemical Threat projects and shit. That I think was the best era of the whole thing, just because we had a good momentum. And I definitely like that time better than the second time. The second time, the fans, I think, kind of a big chunk of them kind of had a little bit of resentment towards me just because I wasn't a part of it for a long time, and I didn't always get along with everybody that was a part of it. So you know, there was a lot of shit said back and forth. So people kind of. I didn't really get a fair chance that second time I was back, and people kind of talked shit about me for a while, and I was just like, well, you know, the fan base had dwindled quite a lot, and then on top of that, the people that were, like, actively talking about it weren't, like, being very positive about me being back, so I was just like, it's not worth my time to be there a second time, so definitely the first time, and it was awesome. That first time, it was a fun go-round, and also just because, like, Loke, you know, like, lived up here, so we were doing, like, for real, like, Mission Effect shows and shit. It was fun. It was a good time.
Yep, and I mean, now Loke just does a few tours once in a while. I can't wait to hear that Left to Violence CD when he drops it, which I heard.
I can't either. Actually, like, I hadn't been listening to Loke's music at all just because me and him, you know, didn't get along at all or whatever, you know? But, I mean, it's been so long since all that shit. I checked him out on Spotify the other day and checked out, what's it called, American Monster. And that shit was dope. I thought it was really dope, actually, for, you know, a horrorcore album. It was pretty solid.
Yep.
He's a good artist.
I mean, I'm just hyped to see, like, what he does on Let's Get Violent. Because, I mean, from what I remember hearing the first time, he said it's going to be, like, it's going to be, like, a pure diss CD or whatever. But I don't know if he's going to go that way or not. But I guess I'll know when I've seen him 13th. Yep. July 13th when I've seen him in EMOS. I guess I'll know then.
Yeah. Fuck. That'd be crazy if he just did a whole song, whole album dissing people. That would be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, because
I don't even, like, hate nobody anymore. If I wanted, like, I went to go do another Talk Shit Avenger CD, and I just didn't have that much shit to talk. It just never happened. Like, I did, like, one song, and I was like, yeah, I don't even want to release that. It's too much. I just kind of like chilling and making music and just kind of coexisting, you know?
And ignoring stupid people.
Ignore stupid people, you know, work shit out. If you have issues with people, instead of being abrasive, it's just a way easier lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I get you. I mean, it's not like, I mean, Loke's not like somebody like the Joker could diss everybody for no reason.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Even though I
Joker
don't know why,
like,
he worked with him.
Crazy.
That's kind of one of the weird collabs that he's, like, working with him and whatnot. Because, I mean, I heard some background info from Green or whatever. He has a lot of unreleased songs, you know, with the Joker. He has a few unreleased songs with him that aren't out yet.
Really?
Yeah, a few more than the Be My Slave.
Well, that's dope. The Be My Slave was a funny song, just how they kind of, the way they approached Joker's verse being on there, how he was like, you know, he comes in talking shit, like, you know, I'm not going to do this horrorcore verse, and then he does it anyways. Like, I thought that was funny.
So, what would you guys say would have been your favorite song you've created, and on the other hand, your least favorite song, and why for each?
Each of us individually?
Yeah.
My favorite song I've ever made. Man, that's a crazy one. Maybe Feed My Dog. I think I like Feed My Dog as my favorite song I've ever made. It's a good story song. The hook's really catchy. If nobody knows it, Combine has fucking chew in his lip. I've never seen that before. sorry, he just caught me off guard. Yeah, Feed My Dog. I like that track. I'm proud of that one. And the remix of it with Bloodshot is dope, too. My least favorite song I've ever made? Oh, God. There's one that someone actually posted on my wall the other day. It's called Butt Cheeks. A really old song that was going to end up being on, like, my second mixtape ever. I never made the mixtape. It was over, like, the Sierra and Ludacris beat, whatever song was popular at that time, and it was called Butt Cheeks, and it was just about girls shaking their butts. That was what the whole song was about, and then, like, fucking them. So, it's not a good song. That's probably my least favorite. Butt Cheeks. You can find it on YouTube. It's there.
I don't think I've made my favorite song yet.
You haven't made your favorite song yet?
I don't know. I mean, if I just had to, like, pick one, it's a tough thing to do, you know what I mean?
I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm just like,
I like them all, you know what I mean?
Right.
Going back to listening to my older stuff, you know, even some small parts of those, but everything that we make now, especially since I've been working with Gru, it's like, I don't know, there's, you know, 9 out of 10 of them I dig.
I'm the same way. I have some that the only reason I like them is because it's easier for me to listen to them over and over. Like, there's some you get sick of just because, you know, either they took a long time to create or this or that, but some of them you just can listen to. Feed My Dog is that one for me. What do you got, bro?
I'd say probably one song I did on my last album. It's called Rainfall. It's the last song on the album. I don't know. I like that song because it really hit home to me when I wrote it. It's not really a happy song by any means. It's a pretty depressing song, but I like listening to it when I'm in that mood because it kind of brings me out of that mood.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess when you look at it, when you say, you know, our favorite song, I mean, if I'm looking at it like the song that means the most to me, you know what I mean? Like, it's definitely off of it would have been the Simply Complicated album. It would have been Step in My Shoes because it's just about my life, you know. But the whole entire song is about starting off, you know, just being picked on all the time as a kid. And then all of a sudden I blew up and, you know, turned 6'4", 320 pounds, but, you know, and then all of a sudden didn't get picked on no more.
Right.
You know, then for me going on to having my kid, you know, and then on to even my mom passing away, you know, so, I mean, that's probably my favorite song. And then my least favorite song, I hate it so fucking much that I don't even fucking know what it's called anymore. It's on Corn Fed. If anybody knows it, listen to it. It's one of the, it's like the second or third song, second or third to last song on the album. I can't remember what it is, but you'll know because it's fucking whack.
Whatever that one super whack Combine song
is. It's super whack, dude. It is. It's like, oh, good shit. What the fuck is this? Like somebody fucking snuck it in.
Like
there.
Some other guy came in and put his song in the CD.
Yeah, it's fucking retarded. I wish I never would have put it on that album.
I can't even think of a least favorite. Anything that I made, like, back
when
I was, like, 18, 17, 18.
That's a good answer.
Oh, my whole shit.
It's all pretty horrible.
Like, everything I've ever done, I pretty much fucking hate.
Yeah.
I pretty much dislike it all.
But I used to think it was so dope back then. So that could be the same scenario now.
Yeah, this is so dope. And 5 years later, what the fuck, man?
What the fuck, man?
What was that? So remember that song that we fucking made that one night when that Detroit Lions fan interviewed us? Remember that, man? That fucking, let's listen to it. Oh, man, this is whack.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We like to ramble on, dude. This is pretty much what we do. We'd actually be saying the same shit to each other right now if we weren't here on the interview.
Yep.
We'd just probably be about other topics, but we just randomly bullshit about stupid shit all the time.
Yeah.
What we do.
Yep. So, what would you guys say is, like, the weirdest song that's either on your, like, MP3 player, your iPod, iPhone, like, whatever thing you use?
Shit that, like, somebody wouldn't expect me to have?
Exactly.
Let's see. Where's my iPod? grab this motherfucker.
I can tell you my
I bet it's probably going to be like a Justin Timberlake song or something.
Mine would be a Justin Bieber song.
Oh, man, I got a Justin Timberlake album. That shit is insane. It's
I'd probably
good.
Bieber, so I get a lot of shit for that. I got Bieber. I got the whole all Bieber shit on
you
my
You got
shit.
Bieber on your fucking
Absolutely.
iPod?
Absolutely.
Is it for you or your kid?
It's for me.
Holy shit.
And I was like, baby. Yeah, I don't give a fuck, man. See, because the thing is especially if you're going to be a musician, you got to sometimes look beyond the stupid image and everything and look at the production. I listen to a lot of top 40 stuff that's out there just because I like to
this
hear.
Is Combine talking,
yeah,
by the
Combine,
way.
Yeah, because I like to hear what the production is and how they created the song. You know, that's why you hear a lot of whack rappers out there blowing up still, because they have such dope-ass production. You know, it makes everything sound even better.
Yeah, my iPod, actually, there's nothing really too weird on it. I think the weirdest thing that sticks out like a sore thumb is it's all underground rap, and then there's one Tenacious D album.
You should let me see your
I have
a... So I can think, let's see what I think's weird in it.
I have Erotic City by Prince on here.
So Bullock has Prince, Combine has Bieber, I have Tenacious D.
I actually have a lot of Prince on here now that I see this. I have tons of Prince on here. But Prince, man, back in the day... I was like probably 4 or 5 years old, and I still remember this wholeheartedly. Fucking, it was my birthday, and what I got for birthday, my mom gave me Prince, Purple Rain.
Yes.
And like a little tape player, like a little handheld tape player, tape recorder.
Nice.
And I walked around the house playing that fucking Prince tape out.
See, I'm
and
younger
I
than
to
you.
Day,
I got MC Hammer for my birthday on a CD and then like a little CD player.
So I still to this day like know all the words. Like me and my brothers would sit in the living room. We'd have like these plastic baseball bats. We use them as guitars. And we put on like a Prince show. And I still know all the words of all those songs. I just love that shit. All
right, this is Combine. And I'm looking at Gru's iPod so I can tell you what I think's weird in his iPod. And I would say absolutely fucking nothing. This, he's got nothing but dope shit. I mean, that child, I mean, is Kanye West, fucking Nas.
Kanye West is kind of weird for me. I don't even know if I like that album. I don't
but
even
still, know. I mean, 50 Cent, Tenacious D, which, I mean, if that's right there alone. That's one of the best ones in there. That's just fucking awesome to listen to. Especially if you want to get pumped up, fucking listen to it while you're cleaning the house or something. But yeah, he's got a really good, really good.
Yeah, so it's not too weird on there.
I got some April Wine on here.
Now we're always going through our iPods. Oh, next question.
Next question.
Okay, then, like, what, if you could collaborate with any artist, like, who would it be and why?
Me, right now, this is gruesome, Ritz. Ritz is killing every single fucking song he touches right now. That dude is crazy. I mean... It'd either be Ritz or my favorite rappers of all time are Tech N9ne and Crooked Eye. Those have always been my favorite rappers, and I've been lucky enough to work with Tech. So, like, yeah, Crooked Eye or Ritz would be my two.
I'd say my two right now would probably be Kendrick Lamar and Chris Calico.
Those are awesome choices.
Yeah.
That would be awesome to have them both on
both
the
same track. Both on the same track,
because
they're all so freaking versatile. I mean, that would be such a crazy song.
I got a question to your question. Now, would this be... Would this be not just, like, my favorite, like, rapper I'd want, or would this be, you know, all around anybody?
All genres, like, all around. It could be anybody.
I would probably, honestly, I'd probably say, like, Beyonce, just for the fact that right there would be enough exposure to blow us all up. Because
you could be in the same room with her ass at the same time.
That, too. That too, you know, and then be able to, you know what I mean, let her do her little singing song shit bullshit, and then fucking I come with that one rap verse, and then all of a sudden I blow up off of one 16-bar verse.
Right.
I think
every rapper in the world could blow up if they were featured on a Beyonce song.
I think that's just being smart.
It doesn't matter if you're fucking Soulja Boy or if you're Ritz. Doesn't matter how good or bad you are, you're going to blow the fuck up.
Yeah, I would have to say that if it was, like, just my favorite rapper, though. Man, it's hard to really pick who it would be. I mean, probably maybe
Eminem.
Absolutely.
If I could go in a time capsule and get, like...
Oh, Biggie Smalls, without doubt.
Marshall Mathers.
Oh, going back to... I'd say Biggie if it go back to...
Back in time, yeah.
Or even Big Pun would be fucking retarded.
Yeah, Big Pun was my favorite.
Yes, oh my God, he's so dope.
Yep.
Sorry, we're getting off subject again.
It's fine. So, what would you guys say were, like, your influences? Like, who are the people you listen to or want to make you get into music?
Mine would probably be the first rap music that I heard that I really liked was like Brother Lynch Hung, and then like Doomsday Productions, and a lot of like Vegas music, because like I said, when I learned to start freestyling and shit, it was with these dudes from Vegas, so whatever music they had was the shit that really got me started, and that's probably why I started making such like sick fucking music, was because I started listening to, my first introduction to good rap was Brother Lynch Hung, Doomsday Productions, and I stumbled upon Tech N9ne through like Napster back in the day, that machine gun, where he raps over the machine gun, that was the first shit, Stamina was the first shit, so those three groups, well, Doomsday Productions, Lynch, and Tech was like the foundation of what I was like, I want to be like these motherfuckers. They're all kind of evil and off-kilter, and none of them, they all have kind of like a really unique style and shit, and that's kind of what I based all my shit on, was those three groups.
I'd have to say, for me, this book, see, as far as influences, back when I first started rapping, it was about the time that the Chronic came out, and like Doggy Style, Snoop Dogg and Doggy Style. So, actually, the first tape I ever made was me looping a bunch of Snoop Dogg beats, and I actually just spit out his same lyrics on the tape. But as far as, like, influences go, for me, for, like, all time, I would have to say Outkast is, like, number one for me. And Tupac, I was always, like, a huge Tupac fan back in the day. But absolutely, like, Outkast, I just love how their shit's so different whenever they drop something. And that's what I always try to do too. I don't like to do the same thing over and over again. I like to really be outside the box, or I would say, I don't know.
This is Combine. I would say, absolutely, without a doubt, it's Insane Clown Posse with me. I mean, I'm your typical diehard juggalo. I mean, now in my life, I consider myself still a juggalo, but not nothing of what I was. But I'm, you know what I mean? It was like when I was that 16 area, 17 area, I did nothing but listen to ICP and Twisted. And it was, and then if you broke it down and you got a little deeper into it, it was Violent J that actually influenced me to make music, because that, if you listen to the way, you know, the stuff that I talk about, I'm just always trying to get a chuckle. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get someone to laugh at what I said,
right,
rather than the whole, like, you know, real, like, skillful, you know, rap music where, you know, no methodical, retarded, blah, 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 cool, you know, like that. Getting there, you know, but I mean, shit like that, freaking weird, you know, I like to make people just giggle, and that's why, you know, hearing Violet J all the time, every time I hear him, he's fucking just dropping a joke in the song, so absolutely them.
Okay, for some, someone wanted to ask me, what inspired you to make your CD Bipolar Grew?
Bipolar Grew, it's just, over the years, I kind of, built like a weird reputation of really, you know, just being kind of bipolar, real sporadic, and you know, I just, a lot of people always would try and, like, call me bipolar in, like, a negative manner, like they were insulting me by calling me bipolar all the time. So I was like, well, fuck that, let's just make the Bipolar album. And I went into Bipolar Grew just like, don't limit yourself from anything. Don't try to make a specific kind of album. Just let your mind naturally go to what it wants to do. Because, you know, when I'm working on, like, a Dark Flow album, or I'm working on a specific album, normally I'm trying to get a specific sound out of that album. But with Bipolar Grew, I just went into it and I was like, if you hear a beat and you like it, even if it sounds more poppy or, you know, more this way or that, more party, you know, more than just, you know, just go with the flow and let the album happen. And that's what Bipolar Grew was. It was just like the first, you know, 7 beats that I heard that I liked, I made those fucking songs that came to my head and just let it happen.
Okay, and we have 318 called in. 318, who's this?
You already
know. You got
know
any questions
Culture?
For them? Hey. Yeah.
What's up,
anyways.
DK?
Yeah, what up?
Hard Dicks and Airplanes.
Anyway.
Hard Dicks and Airplanes.
Right on.
Wow.
You should already know I say that shit, so.
Yep.
But no,
so
I'll
you got any questions for them?
Let's see. I'm going to go basic. What's your favorite color?
My favorite what?
What's your favorite color of food? We're going to go basic.
Oh, my favorite color? Man, I'm not, like, really into colors. I like black and, like, red and gray and kind of, like, real drab shit. Like, I'm just into kind of,
right,
like, dark colors and shit. This is gruesome, by the way.
Yeah, combined, I would say it's a tie between red and blue. Those are my, you know, those are my two base colors I like to wear.
Same here.
Red and blue.
Yeah.
Red and blue.
You think I'd wear more blue being a Lions fan and shit, but I don't.
You definitely, Drew's favorite color, definitely from what I see, is red. I mean, it's usually black and red together, that combination all the time. He's a big Bulls fan.
So mine's lime green, orange, red, and black, so.
That is
damn
interesting.
Yeah.
You're like a road cone.
There you go.
Bright as fuck.
Hell, mine's like mostly green, red, and black, so.
Who are we talking to?
Jason, right? I ask you this? I'd say mine's red.
I go by
the
ghost,
The ghost?
The ghost.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if I heard you right.
Yeah.
Like Patrick Swayze?
Do what?
your nickname is Patrick Swayze.
Oh, sure, why not?
Are you right behind me right now, ghost?
I might be. I might be.
Stop tickling my ear.
Oh, I know PK would love it if I was behind him.
Whoa, probably not.
Whoa.
Yeah, I gotta fuck with PK, sorry about that, yeah.
Maybe the other way around.
Well, shit, oh yeah, you already know. But it took you a while to kind of come back with that, PK, so, question mark
you
there?
Took you a while to come.
No,
not. Question
sorry,
mark
there?
Sorry,
I was drinking a little bit of whiskey. The auto-doom.
Oh, yeah, blame it on the drink. Well, I got vodka, so it's the vodka's fault right now, okay. But, shit.
So, let's see.
I got everybody, like, yeah.
You know, I've done a few, like, these blog... What are they, blog talk radio things? And it's, like, inevitable. There's always kind of, like, an awkward silence because there's a delay between the conversation. So there's always, like, that kind of weird silence and shit that happens. There's no avoiding it.
Nope.
Pretty much.
We're going to try. We're going to get crafty here. We're all listening to you guys through headphones. We have, like, a splitter on my phone, and we all have headphones on so we don't have to struggle to hear you. We're going to try and take this outside, so these guys can have cigarettes and shit.
Oh,
shit.
We're going outside.
You're going outside with us. We could just go to the garage, actually, if it would be easier.
Well, actually, said I'd just go through the wall.
Why don't you just put on speaker while we're outside?
We'll be fine. This works. Look at this. We're like a fucking octopus of rapper. Like.
That is, oh, my God. Yo, when they come out with octopus condoms.
Octopus condoms.
So there you go, octopus condoms.
I feel like I'm like chain G right now. Like,
I know, don't you feel like a chain gang? I'm like pulling blokes' ears off
you're
right
like,
now.
What's your name? Me and Groot got me and Groot.
Me and Groot.
We got the whole
dance. You got the whole dance. This is funny. I wish you guys could see this.
It's the three students, Junior.
So how often do you guys do this? You guys do this thing every week?
We do it pretty much every night.
Oh, damn.
Damn, man.
I mean, like, how we've had interviews with people like... We've had interviews with people like Tech9, like... We've had a whole show of interviews with people.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Do we need to get iced tea back, yo, PK?
You guys had iced tea on the show?
Hell yeah.
I think we did it one time.
Sick, man. That'd be awesome. I'd love to talk to him. Maybe a lighter bloke.
Oh, but I'm only around
whenever
PK does the show because, as far as Ghetto G and, like, Havoc, they're assholes to me. So I'm not around much. Y'all guys are lucky.
Ghost, how old are you?
18.
God kind of sounds young, don't she?
Yeah, you sound young.
Silent
you know,
again.
Not being rude, just sound a little young, so I'm just curious.
Hey, it's hard.
I didn't want to. I know, I get curious.
I may know a lot, but I still get curious every now and then, so that's excusable.
Where are you from?
That's the movable. Yeah, she got a little accent, too, huh?
Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Yep.
Well, then we're about ready to play some hacky sacks.
We do. We're like we're about to hack it up.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Those are nice where you guys are from.
Silence again.
Wait, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, I said, is it nice weather-wise where you guys are at?
Well, for mine, it's been sunny, pouring down rain, and then cloudy and shit, so up and down.
Well, at least you're lucky with the rain check. Like, here it's basically sunny as hell, 90 degrees, it's like, okay, I want to, you know, stop. It's been that way for like
Yo,
a week.
Yo, PK, you remember that little fucking rat commercial, whatever, and it was like up, down, side, 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 Yo, shit. I got that on my phone, though.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to send it to you then. That was funny. Everybody who asked me today how's the weather, I told them up, down, side, side.
Very random.
Our town's like about to flood again, I think, man.
Yeah.
You know, raining like crazy out here.
It's nice tonight, but it has been raining a lot. And, yeah.
Hell, I would have fucking went played up in that bitch, but yeah, we were like busy today, so I was like, fuck it.
Okay, so let's go back to questions. So about, like, what do you, like, when you're writing new songs and stuff, what do you guys usually, like, focus on for, like, concepts? Like, how do you do it? I mean, because, like, whenever I do stuff, I mean, I kind of, like, try and get the hook done first because that's always a pain in the ass for me. Like,
yeah.
How do you guys focus on that stuff?
That's the same way I approach music, man. Like, I search forever to find a good beat because I have trouble finding beats I really like and shit. And then, yeah, I always try and figure out the melody. I'm going to work the hook and then, you know, let the hook kind of guide where the song goes, whatever kind of comes to that.
I kind of go either way as far as that goes. Same here. I take forever to find a beat and then, I don't know, sometimes I start off with the verse, sometimes it's the hook. It's just whatever the beat kind of tells me what to do.
Definitely all hook first, no matter what. I mean, even if it's like I'm just on a verse on it, I want the hook to be done.
Yeah.
You know, because I want to know exactly, you know, what I'm talking about. You know, I want it to be part of the hook, so it's all part of the same song.
Right. So it's all cohesive and shit, yeah.
Yep. Let's see. How much do you guys charge for collabs?
Once a day.
How much do we charge for collabs? I charge it's like $100 a verse or $100 a chorus, and then if someone wants to get both of them on the same track, it's like $175. That's gruesome. I said that.
I charge $50 for a verse and $75 for a verse and a hook.
I do $50 per verse. 50 for a hook.
We're all cheap dates.
But every year, I don't really have a specific time of the year, but it seems like I just get a wild hair up my ass and I'll just do free collabs.
Yeah, see, I'll drop my shit down every once in a while, just depending on how much work I have to do. If I don't have any collabs, sometimes you can catch me if I'm on my Facebook or something. I'll be like, I'll do one for 25 right now if you hit me up right now. So it just depends.
It depends on how broke you are and what it is, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Anytime a rapper is running a deal on collabs, they're broke.
Yep.
Now, I got a question. How much do y'all do in y'all octopus rap?
What?
How much y'all do in y'all octopus rap, all three of y'all?
What?
I lost you at octo.
You guys hear that? What was that? Is it like an animal in my garage?
It was like your toy, one of the toys over there.
Oh, one of Shane's toys went off. Yeah, I got like little kids' toys out here scaring the shit out of me.
Wait, hold on. We talk about toys now. This is like a whole different level.
Wow.
TK, look what the fuck you did to me, yo.
We're just letting the conversation go, man. We said we got 2 hours. We're like, we're going to use 2 hours. Watch this.
Yeah, we're only 1 hour in.
Well, TK done beat y'all to that one. Well, not in person, but yeah. He done beat y'all to that one. That's what the way I am is thanks to him, so y'all can thank him.
Way to go, PK.
You're welcome. You call him Santa voice.
And we gonna ooh later, fucker. So you better be
Damian
ready.
Damian Sandow, that's my dude. I love Damian Sandow.
I seriously think he should drop a fucking CD. Just for the hell of it.
Yo, PK, we like all like Uvu later.
I'd buy that.
That'd be dope.
I would buy it too.
I'd buy
if
that.
He was just remixing like people's anthems and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, the way he like destroyed Randy Orton and just made fun of him, I was like, that was dope.
Silence.
So, let's see, because we're talking about wrestling. Who would you say is like your guys' favorite wrestlers?
Oh shit.
My favorite wrestler right now is probably Daniel Bryan. I think he's like the best dude on the roster. I think as far as like actually, like in ring, like performing and shit. I think Daniel Bryan's the most exciting dude to watch right now. Are we talking all time or are we talking here?
Let's just say like who's current right now, basically. Like the guys are either on TNA or WWE.
Current. Ryback.
Yep.
All time.
Damn.
Goldberg. I'd say all time Goldberg, and really, currently I don't really watch it a whole lot anymore.
Boo.
I know.
I watch it as much as I can.
Yeah. I quit watching it for like 10 years. Just picked it back up when The Rock came back.
Oh, Lord.
Now I'm addicted again.
Damn, only one said one of my favorites. Shit, y'all lame.
Who's your favorite then?
Of course, The Undertaker and Kane.
Oh, yeah, Taker's awesome.
Brothers of Destruction.
I'm so sad that, like, Taker came back for WrestleMania, and then he came back for a few shows after that. I thought he was going to stick around for a while, then the Shield put him through a table, and he disappeared.
Shit, yeah. Like,
that's a good way to get him off camera for a while until next WrestleMania.
Right, and then he can fight all of them or something.
Probably the only handicap loss. Match. They're going to get their asses kicked, even though they'll probably have broken
up by
then.
He'll take the U.S. title and the tag team titles at the same time. I'll just take them all.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll have every single title in WWE at once.
Yep, and then he'll leave for a year and take all the titles with him.
And then retire. That would just be messed up.
Who's yours? Who's your favorite wrestler?
My favorite, I'd say, overall, I'm like a CM Punk guy.
Yeah, I like CM Punk, man. He's a really dope wrestler. Really dope wrestler. I think my favorite of all time is definitely Chris Jericho. That's definitely my favorite of all time. But just right now, Daniel Bryan is fucking
okay, TK, like I always say, Punk is a punk. He talks about fucking drugs and like he has never done them himself or like any shit. Like his life's never been hard, so shit. And go fuck himself.
Hey, he's a dope wrestler.
He's a good wrestler. He's a good talker. I mean, kind of like, he has like that total package for what you need.
Like I said, he ain't a good talker because it ain't like he hasn't done shit in his life himself, so.
When they aren't pushing him like super hard as a heel, he's easy to like, you know? When he's
like
being an asshole, he's
before,
too good at being an asshole, so people just hate him.
I like the old him before he started being a real punk, you know? Like now he's just fucked up his name. He should just go by Punk.
Well, I mean, I'm just kind of looking forward to his return because I kind of thought that match, you know, Jericho versus Punk, you know, would be kind of lame because, like, okay, this is the third time they're doing the match, and no matter who wins this match, I mean, if Jericho wins, it's like, so what? Punk already beat you twice last year.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, if Punk wins, I mean, the only thing I could probably see happening is, like, maybe, like, you know, double turn, Jericho going heel and Punk turning on Heyman and going face, but that's, like, all I could basically see. But I guess we'll find out in a few weeks.
Right, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping it actually happens. I don't know, like, because, you know, we haven't seen Punk yet or nothing, so I'm hoping it actually happens.
PK, I'm still ahead of you, though, because I'm going to fucking WrestleMania.
Oh, well.
Shit, you going to be saying, oh, well, when I sing you shit and make you jealous.
Oh, well, have fun.
Oh, I will.
I get to see the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Fuck Money in the Bank.
What do you think of Dolph Ziggler? You like Ziggler?
Ziggler? The fuck Ziggler?
I think that Ziggler's, I mean, he's one of those guys who, I don't think he's, like, bad, but I don't think he's, like, that great either. I mean, he's one of those guys who's good and can definitely get the push-up, like, you know, the main event. But
yeah.
They just have to stop pushing Super Cena, who I absolutely hate.
Cena needs to turn heel sometime, man. That would be so interesting to see, finally. But I just don't see it
ever
happening.
But Vince McMahon's never going to turn him heel. I even heard that that stupid character, Fandango, or whatever the hell he's called, that his original role was supposed to be as a male stripper or something. It's like, yeah, good thinking, Vince. Very
easy.
See,
you're talking about Dolph Ziggler.
Instead,
shit. What about Dingo, whatever the name is, Fandango, whatever. Shit, I can't even name it. It's like so damn gay.
You're saying it wrong. You gotta be like, Fandango.
Oh, Lord. No. Go kill yourself. That's why I couldn't say his name. I just call him gay ass, basically.
Instead of bringing him in, as Disco Inferno.
Yo, I got a question now. Hold up. Y'all was asking PK about who's his favorite wrestler or shit. Is this our interview or y'all's?
We're just having a conversation now.
That's a good conversation.
Pretty much.
No, we're conversating, but we're supposed to be interviewing. And that led me to my second question. Are we chatting or interviewing?
a little bit of both.
I'm getting a little confused here.
Well, before you called in, I asked 15, 20 questions right there. And
yeah.
Now we're just more or less chatting.
Your
ass
just ran
out of questions,
so.
No, I ain't run out of
questions. Or you either use the same ones like y'all always use, like, well, shit, me? I would have done started with the basics. Your favorite color, your favorite food, I would have been stalking, yo. But I'm behaved.
That's just
weird
questions to ask.
I don't want to scare y'all people away. Yeah, I'm sort of the stalker sort of type, you know. I want to know, like, your actual, you know. Like, before everybody started rapping all this shit, you know. Really, you know it started on the streets, you know. Like, and at school and shit, you know. So, basically, you would probably be like, well, nowadays, you'd probably be 8 years old and a little rapper motherfucker. So, all this, you know, like... You know, you're badass as shit. Like, hell, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite food? If you really want to know somebody, get to know their ass. Can't always,
so
you know,
what?
Shit don't start from, like, music. I mean, you got to start with your personality and shit.
See, you do stuff differently than we do. But how about we go into more questions?
what albums
are you guys working on right now?
Right now, I'm kind of just like in the very, very beginning stages of working on, I'm going to do like, this last project, I really, really loved Bipolar Groove, but it wasn't horrorcore at all, and I just, you know, I love making horrorcore music, it just didn't happen on this one, so I'm kind of full-fledged dedicating my next project to being dark and being crazy, so I'm finally doing Return to Dark Flow, which was an album I said I was going to do in like 2009. I'm finally starting to work on that right now, but it's just like I'm in the process of finding beats and coming up with song ideas. Nothing too set in stone yet. But.
I'm actually almost done with my next album. It's called All Over the Place, and that's basically what it is. I kind of what Grusin was talking about making Bipolar Groove, how he's just listening to beats and whatnot, and just doing whatever come to mind. That's kind of what I did, and. It's just, it's all over the place. There's, like, blues bass songs on there, like, dubstep bass songs on there. I mean, it's just, and all kinds of different topics. It's just, it's all over the place. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm about
12 songs deep into it now. I have a collab I'm working on with Skies right now, and then, of course, I got to get a collab ready to go for Gruesome the Combine here. Working on a collab with a cat I used to go to school with. His name's Riley Smith. He was on my last album also, so he's actually, we're going to work on some shit next week, so hopefully I'll get him on the album.
And this dude, Riley Smith, that Bloke is friends with, is like a dope-ass actor, too. He's in, like, a bunch of fucking movies and shit. He was in, like, Freaks and Geeks, the TV show and shit. It's pretty crazy that this dude came from where we're from.
It's a little small town, and he's just doing big things right now.
What about you, Combine? What are you working on?
Right now, we, and I have been working on for a long time, is Mr. Meanie Man. That's my next solo album. It's probably been a year and a half to 2 years. Probably about 2 years. Because, I mean, even the paper is starting to turn yellow that I wrote it on, you know. And so working on that, and then, I mean, as that, at the same time while I'm working on that, I mean, I think we dropped, like, 3 other albums, you know, little different things, you know, with me and Gru, kind of like IA Boys. We did that one. In between it, we did the Labaholics. In between it, we did Freedom 35. We did that in between it. So at the same time, we keep just, you know, thinking of something. I mean, if you ask us this question tomorrow, we're probably going to be working on the new album that we decide later tonight what we're going to do. You know, because we just, you know, we just like making music. And
right. We're all, like, real close homies. We kick it every single Friday. All three of us, we get up and we kick it. And that's how we end up doing these, like, albums to get together, just like, oh, we made this many songs, let's just go ahead and finish it up. So we're always working on shit.
Cool, cool. So let's see. Like, who would you guys say was your favorite artist that you ever collabed with? And why?
Favorite artist I've ever collabed with? I like doing collabs with Combine and Bloke a lot, just because, you know, we're so close, it's so easy, that chemistry's already there. That's, like, my favorite shit is when I just have, like, a natural chemistry with some people. I really like working with Seth Rock and Dubs. Both those guys are really cool. My boy Skies. You know, there's a big group of people that I'd say I equally love working with, all of them the same, and it's just, you know, it's the same people I work with over and over, just because, you know, that chemistry is already... It's already built, you know?
I'd have to say my favorite artist that I ever collabed with, it had to be Gruesome, because I was actually a big Gruesome fan before I even knew Gruesome personally. So after the first time I met him at a buddy's wedding, and it was like a week or so after that, we were in the studio together, and it was... I thought it was badass. I mean, it is badass, because I'm like, this is the dude that I listen to, you know, all the time, and I'm sitting here in the studio with him, and lo and behold, you know, we came really close homies since then, so it's a good thing.
I mean, I would say, this is Combine, I would probably say, I mean, obviously, the quick cop-out is going to be my homies, you know, Gru and Bloke.
Oh, somebody,
you know,
cop-out?
Yep. So, but I would say beyond them, because obviously I'd rather make music with them than anybody else. I mean, just because we know each other and I give a shit about what they're doing in their everyday lives. But I would probably say, I don't know, we got a couple different collabs with Hobson. And I say that, you know, because I haven't done a whole bunch of collabs with people, and I would say definitely that, because, I mean, I like the dude's music a lot, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I would have to say definitely him.
Well,
another fun collab that I did on my last album is another dude from here in Iowa. It goes by the name of New Depths. And same situation, let's do his shit all the time, just hit him up to see if he wanted to work with me, and he was all down for it, and we did this song called Ride Slow. That's just a riding song. And the dude just murdered his verse. That was a good... I really like making that song. So that was another...
New Depths is dope. If you guys don't know who New Depths
check
is,
him
out,
out
here, like, in Des Moines area, out here in Iowa. Oh, that dude is really, really dope.
Good. Check him out. It's like, it's NU Depths.
Yep.
Yeah, check it out. He's really dope.
What's wrong with it?
It's just poopy. Oh.
They're talking about their one hitter over here, the pooping out
yeah,
red.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Big ass cover.
I just need to clean that up.
Absolutely, I got that shit all over me.
Get my lighter back.
No, I'm not a cigarette.
Since y'all got quiet, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm back.
Oh, and other people just type in the chat room.
Dude, what?
You've got a chat room?
There are people typing in the chat room. So I'm just seeing if any of them have questions.
Oh, so you're in the damn chat room and not on fucking OVO. Yeah, your ass is mine, motherfucker.
Whatever.
Loser?
I said whatever. I'm in the middle of doing the interview, so.
And I said loser.
I'll set stuff later. Anyway.
I ain't OVOing with you later. How about that one? You're punished.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
You're punished.
The interview.
Oh, doesn't matter. Shit, I'll delete your ass.
You know the interview.
One.
Let me finish it.
Hey, you're host, so that's on you.
Okay, anyways, let's get back to questions.
And
you guys say was the one artist that you collabed with that you didn't really like hit off with as well as you thought you would?
Oh shit. I can't even say that I have one where I was unhappy with it. I mean, even if it's like a long distance collab, you know, I take the time to kind of, you know, talk to them and we get everything situated and figured out ahead of time. I think most of the time when I'm doing collaborative work and shit, it usually turns into something I'm happy with. There's not really a time I can pinpoint where I was like, oh, that shit sucked. So
yeah, I'm the same on that too.
Same here.
Absolutely.
I really only collab with people that I really like to listen to anyway. So. Yep. It's where that's that silence is where everyone does the King of the Hill, where we all go, yep.
Actually, nah, it's the time where the ghost loves that. Like, just all quietness. I got y'all scared.
Nah, I'm trying to think of some other question quickly. So let's
and
see.
I'll take that back.
Guys,
I love it when you run out
of
questions.
I have another question. I can put you in the penalty box. But, so what would you say was your guy's favorite, like, horror movie or stuff while you were growing up?
Oh, hell.
Growing up, man, when I was, like, young, I had, like, night terror, nightmares and shit, so I didn't even get to watch much horror as I was, like, growing up because it, like, ruined me as a kid. I would be, like, running around the house in my sleep and shit, so. But, I mean, like, when I was young, I loved, like, Friday the 13th movies. I was always a huge Jason Voorhees fan, even went as him in elementary school for Halloween one year, but watching the movies, I was just too young, and my little fragile mind got broken, so probably Friday the 13th when I was young. I got a little older. The first horror movies that really got me into loving horror movies was the Evil Dead franchise, those three. And we went and saw, me and Combine here, we went and saw the new one, like right when it came out, and that new one is fucking raw. Dope enough.
Absolutely.
I went back and saw it a second time after that, so Evil Dead's my shit.
I'd have to say probably Night of the Living Dead. Back when I was a kid, I watched that. It scared the shit out of me all night. And also another one that scared the shit out of me the first time I saw it, just a little kid, was a Michael Jackson the Thriller video. Nightmares about that video.
Yeah, if you're a little kid, that shit's horrifying, man. That's funny.
My shit's definitely Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, that was a pretty cool
film. Definitely awesome, dope series.
Mine's are better, though.
Okay, what are yours?
Insidious, Bride of Chucky, and, yeah, Night on Elm Street.
Not better.
Hey, yo, no, it is, because whenever you watch it, like, when you're five, yeah, tell me if it's not better.
Well, Bride of Chucky, if you're going to talk Chucky, you got to talk about the first, like, three, the really, really good ones. Bride of Chucky is where it turns into, like, a comedy.
Bride of Chucky? Okay, yo, let me correct that then. All of the damn Chuckies, because I got all of them, and plus the dolls.
There you go.
Is that better?
Way better, Auntie, yeah.
Well, there you go. High five. Well, whatever. But why mine's better is because, yeah, I got the dolls, and plus the one with the little kid or whatever one. Whatever his name was. They couldn't figure out Glinda or Glenn, whatever his name is. I call it It. So.
with me, I'd kind of probably say that, you know, my favorite horror movie franchises, I'd say, I mean, even though this one's way too recent, like the Saw movie franchise, that's a pretty good one. I kind of, you know, like the first few Nightmare on Elm Street, first Halloween, first Friday the 13th, until it got to a point where it's just like, okay, this is just getting stupid because the story is repetitive.
Yeah. Yeah, especially Friday the 13th. You know, it's a lot of the same shit over and over, but for some reason I just, like, I get sucked into it. I love them, you know? I can watch that same shit over and over if it's that good character, like Jason Voorhees and shit. I love that shit.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like Nightmare on Elm Street probably the best because that was only, like, 6 movies total, so it wasn't, like, that long of a series.
Right, yeah. They did a lot of different shit in those to keep them interesting, too, so.
Yep.
Since we're talking about movies, what's y'all favorite action movie? Here we go. You got silent quiet, yo.
So,
okay,
the,
okay, I'll answer my own damn question. Anything that got Vin Diesel in it, I love.
What was the question?
There's another question? I didn't even hear another
What's y'all favorite action movie since we started talking about movies?
Oh, action movies. I like the Transporter series. Those movies are sick.
Oh, yeah, that's dope.
Transporter. I like those new Expendables. The Expendables are really, really good. Terminator. The whole Rambo series is sick.
Yeah.
Rambo's sick.
Yeah.
Anything with Vin Diesel, Terminator, and Rambo. There you go.
I'm looking forward to that new Riddick movie they got coming out. That was
Same
good.
Here.
That's really good.
If I had to answer this one, then I'd probably say I like movies like, you know, stuff like Crank, the Fast and Furious series, like that kind of stuff.
Did
I like
you just
Crank,
say Crank
a lot. Crank 1 and 2,
yeah.
Those are, the second one was real crazy.
I like the second
real
one.
For
yeah,
real.
I like the second one a lot.
Yeah.
I want to see a third one of those. I want to see if the third one of those happen.
And, I mean, of course, there's some dumb ass like comedy movies, like, you know, The Hangover, like those ones. But then again, I mean, yeah, it's kind of like so stupid that it's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. My list of stupid comedy movies that I love is infinite, you know. I just love any kind of, like, stupid comedy, like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, like old Adam Sandler movies or, Will, you know, like the Step Brothers movie or any of those newer Will Ferrell movies. Yeah.
Shit, you know what's really a comedy?
Stupid comedy.
Shit, you know what's really a comedy? Madea.
I've never seen one of those movies. Never seen one.
No.
Oh, shit, I need to get you at my motherfucking house, man. Yo, I got all the DVDs. I'm going to go possess your ass and bring you to my house, and then I'll unpossess you.
Yeah,
that way you don't know
me.
My address and shit.
Yeah,
you don't know where the fuck, how the fuck you got here.
Good luck with that.
Oh, really? You want to say good luck? Shit. I will go through your damn, I will come out to your fucking phone after a while through Uvu, and we'll see who needs good luck.
Anyways, let's get back to the interview.
Look, you're fucking smiling. You know you love that shit, so shush you.
You don't know that. But anyways.
Oh, I do know it because I can hear. I got ears. I'm not deaf.
How can you tell what I'm doing if you only have ears? And that just makes me sound like a really weird thing. Ghost.
BK. I'm going to start calling you BK instead of PK. You're big.
Whatever.
Kilo.
Damn.
Do whatever the hell you gotta do.
Oh, I will.
So let's see. I think I'm back with music. Crap. Let's see. Like, out of all your guys' CDs that you've ever done, what would you guys say is your favorite CD? And then, like, your least favorite and why?
My albums I've dropped, my favorite, oh, man, my favorite's probably, of all time, probably the Phoenix, just because when I made the Phoenix album, I was a lot younger, life was a lot crazier, and it was just kind of like, it wasn't like an album I went into it thinking I was going to make an album. That was just like, you know, at the time I was just kicking it a lot, getting drunk, getting fucked up all the time. And it, in the long run, it turned out to be a good album that just kind of happened, you know. So Phoenix is probably my favorite. My least favorite album I've ever done, probably the very first shit, which would be like I did a Beginning of the Legacy mixtape back in the day. And the only reason that's my least favorite is because it's my oldest. It just, you know, I've come a long way since then, and, you know, I can't even really listen to a lot of that old shit of mine just because I don't like it.
I have to say my favorite CD I made is probably my last one, which is Beautiful Disaster. My least favorite would probably also be my first one. It was called Never Live a Lie. And, yeah, I can't even listen to it now. I don't even think I even have it anymore. It was all done on cassette tape. So, yeah, it was way back in the day. So, yeah.
Yeah, Combine disappeared. He went somewhere, so.
Well, we have somebody calling in from Texas. 832, who's this?
Chad.
What's up, Chad?
You got any questions for some Combine or Bloke C?
What's up?
You got any questions for Gruesome, Combine, or Bloke C?
Nah. Hold on. Are y'all albums all over the place? Because I ain't seen none down here, but I know y'all are.
Yeah, we don't have like our shit like in stores and shit, but it's available, you know, like online everywhere. But I haven't ever had any kind of like real distribution deal until my label Six Bucks just signed a deal with Universal. So the new shit coming up like in October is when it takes full effect. After October, our shit will be, you know, way more available. But that's my first situation where I've ever had for real distribution like that. So.
That's what's up.
Definitely dope that you guys got that deal.
Yeah, man, that's something that I never really expected, you know? Especially a big, you know, big thing like Universal and shit. It's opening up a lot of opportunity. But like I said, it doesn't take effect till like after October, so you know, I'm gonna knock out a whole other album in the meantime before we even do the Universal thing. And then my Universal album, when we do that, I was talking to Jimmy saying we're flying out to California and recording the whole thing out there, so it'll be a whole different monster once we get to that point.
Dope, that's dope.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I got a question for y'all. Hold up, PK. What makes y'all want to write, like, about personal shit, like bipolar and stuff? Because I know, I forgot which one of it was y'all, like, talking about bipolar and shit. Like, what makes y'all want to put
that
stuff out
gruesome.
There? Okay, gruesome. I guess I would refer mostly to him then. Like, what makes y'all, like, want to, well, if y'all done other shit too. Like, yeah, what makes y'all want to put that out?
Put out like personal stuff. That's just like I just don't really have like a filter, you know. I feel like sometimes I gotta make those real personal songs just because, you know, it's pretty much like therapy to me. I don't talk about a lot of shit, but I'll put it in music to kind of just vent on issues and shit. So that kind of shit just happens naturally. It's not something I really think about before I do it. I just do it.
Yeah, same here. It's a way to vent. And really, those are some of my favorite songs, are the more personal ones, and actually they're usually more the more popular songs because a lot more people can relate to that real life
exactly.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, I have a lot of people come up to me and their favorite songs are very often like very like personal tracks, just because they're like, I was going through that same shit at that time I heard the song, you know, and it helps people out a lot to know that they're not the only person going through some bullshit, you
exactly.
know.
I feel y'all on that one. Like, that's actually the answer that I was looking for, because most people, you know, they just say, oh, you know, it's just to make it, you know, and, like, you know, like, they don't really know how deep it is, you know, like, to go through that shit. So, but those are definitely the answers I was looking for.
Yeah, it's definitely a way for me to vent, because I'm not a person that really talks about his problems a lot to other people, so.
Right.
to something. That's the way I get my problems out there, is just sitting in a room by myself writing them down, and it just takes a lot of weight off my shoulders.
And with me, like, when I make those songs, that is when, like, I get the opportunity to talk about that shit, because, it, you know, like, I'll put out a song when I'm going through a tough time, I'll put out a song about it, well, then people hit me up with similar problems, and that's when I actually, you know, get the opportunity to kind of talk to people who are in my situation and see how they handle it and shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically, like, yeah, y'all rap and shit, you know, and y'all got shit on your mind, y'all basically, you know, fix it and do it, like, with what y'all love, like, y'all basically, you know, it's like a plus-plus, you know, equal thing, you know, and I get where y'all coming from with that. Like I said, I was just looking for, like, the right answers finally, you know, because I've asked, like, some people myself, and they're like, you know, oh, it was just to come up with a song, or they, like, somebody close to them, you know, they had that problems, you know, and they just, like, dedicated to them. Well, like, yeah, they got, whenever they say that answer, you know, it's like, it gives, like, leaves me confused and lost, I guess you could say, because, like, yeah, why the hell would you want to dedicate, you know, and, like, it has nothing to do about you, you know?
Right.
You know, like, I was just looking for somebody, you know, to finally, you know, give the right answer that, you know, I know should be the right answer, you know, like, why the fuck are you writing it, like, from yourself, you know, like, is it just, like, therapy, you know, like you said or some shit, you know?
Uh-oh, Combine's back, and he's got, like, what, like a bee stick or
popsicle?
I don't even want to know. He's like something.
Wow.
Yeah, you saying wild hell, you probably thought the fur did too. Don't even go there.
Anyways. Let's see.
Let's see what? What are we seeing?
Now, I think you have a question.
I'm gonna start timing you on this shit, yo, like for real.
Hey, I'm trying to clear my throat because the whiskey I just drank is like a little bit harsh to my throat. So give me a minute.
You sure about
but,
that?
You know, when you drink it straight,
you didn't do nothing else before you got on. No, huh? You were doing something else before you got on. Don't lie.
No, I wasn't. But anyways, let's see. Out of, like, if you could work with is there any horrorcore artists that you could work with that you've never worked with yet? Who would it be, and why?
Wow.
Horrorcore artists I've never worked with. Probably, man, I don't even know. Like, I don't know who considers themselves horrorcore and who doesn't, but I've never had the opportunity to work with, like, Brother Lynch, and I think that's something that I need to do before, you know, before I'm done making music, is make that one happen, just because, you know, he was such an important part of me getting into liking this kind of music. That needs to happen at some point. There's a new dude I just found out about named Hex. I want to say Hex Rated, possibly, from LSP Productions. That dude's really dope. I just found out about him because my boy Jimmy went up there and shot his video for him. I've still never yet got to do... But I want to get, like, Scum on a track at some point, too. I've just never made it happen yet. Same with, like, Kung Fu Vampire. That's another dude that, you know, I've talked to him and I've talked to Scum, and it's going to happen at some point. It's just finding the right song. But those are probably the two main ones, really. Yeah, like, Scum and Kung Fu Vampire, those two need to happen soon. What about you, Combine?
Well, I would probably say, for horrorcore, I'd say would count, like, Mad Child. I don't know if you count that.
I don't know. He kind of rides that border. He's more just like a hip-hop artist and shit. That's a good one, though. He would be fun to fucking collab with. He's so out there.
I mean, I would say, like, Necro or Ill Bill. That'd be kind of cool.
Those are dope.
You know what I mean? Because even Ill Bill, like, he's now just a dope-ass rhymer. Back then, he was a little bit, you know, more vicious. So, back in his older shit, if I had those two, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah. Look, you got anything?
No, I'm not really a horrorcore rapper.
I guess if I was to make a horrorcore song, if it could be with anybody, I would say probably Brother Lynch song. Because, I mean, that's probably one of the first horrorcore rappers that I ever listened to back in the day.
Right.
So, I'm a fan of his shit.
I would actually say that I would probably switch mine now that I'm really thinking about it a little. It, you know, because
the first shit that I really ever really listened to for music was the Ghetto Boys. And you can't get like the Ghetto Boys back from their first shit. I mean, it don't get more hardcore than that.
Right. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
One of the fucking first lines I ever remember, and even to this day I remember it, you know, the first time I heard it, it killed me. He said, Bushwick Bill said, after I fucked her, check out what I did. I slit her fucking stomach, watched her squeal like a pig. And I was just like, man, and I was like, fucking like 8 or 10 or some shit. That's the coolest shit I ever heard in my life.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think that. And definitely, you gotta say, like, Twisted. I'd love to work with Twisted or ICP as well, man. That would be awesome.
Holy
There's so
yeah.
many of
oh
them, really.
Yeah,
we're like thinking.
Yeah, we're definitely thinking differently on that. There's a lot. Eshan would be another really cool one.
Exactly.
You guys
yep.
remember Gangsta Nip?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I do.
For sure, I do. Yeah, there's a lot of them, man. Horrorcore is a bigger genre than I think a lot of people notice, man. There's a lot of talent there. It's just. Sometimes it's harder to get the point across because it's such a specific genre and it grosses a lot of people out, man. Like, for real, it does.
I remember being at home once and I was listening to Gangsta Nip CD, South Park Psycho, and my dad comes into my bedroom. He's like, what the fuck are you listening to? And I'm just like, Gangsta Nip. And he just goes, you're weird.
Nice. So what would you guys say in 3D stuff would it be your like favorite pay per view of the year besides the WrestleMania?
Favorite pay per view of the year? I always like the Royal Rumble just because you never know who's gonna fucking come out, you know? That's always cool. I felt sad this year that was it Godfather? Who came back and was in there for like 2
yep.
seconds.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was sad. But sometimes it's cool. Like, you know, no one expected Jericho to be back for that shit, and that was he had a huge reception. I love the Royal Rumble. It's definitely, you know, I probably like it just as much as I like WrestleMania because a lot of the WrestleMania matches, they hype them up a lot, but they're not always like the best matches, man. The actual Royal Rumble is always fun to watch, always.
What was the question?
Favorite, pro wrestling pay-per-view besides WrestleMania.
Oh, I thought you meant besides wrestling. Okay, I heard it differently. Okay. Sorry, people.
Let's see if one of y'all can get my answer again.
Yours is... You want me to guess it?
Yeah, sure. Let's do that. Y'all guess and see which
oh,
pay-per-view is my favorite.
Hell in a Cell.
Well, sort of, but nope.
TLC.
Nope.
Oh, well, I have no idea then.
The other two?
They don't watch wrestling as much as I watch it. I'm like the one diehard wrestling fan here in the room.
Bras and panties match.
The bras and panties match is one match.
Well, all right, I'll give y'all, well... They're sort of not pay-per-views, but I'll give y'all a hint. Yeah, they're not really pay-per-views, and it's really to the heart. So, and there's two of them. So I'll let you guess that now.
They're not really pay-per-views. What?
Wow, I'm even lost here.
My mind has just been blown.
I'm like
Monday Night Raw, fucking SmackDown, NXT, fucking
nope.
Superstars.
Let me know when you give.
That fucking...
This might take a whole rest of the interview.
Right, yeah. The Marine 3 starring The Miz.
Fuck, that's a movie.
I got all nothing. Right, I have no idea.
I'm gonna tell you.
Not a pay-per-view.
All right, yeah, I'm going to tell you. Tribute to the Truth and Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame's always fun to watch.
Yeah. And Tribute to the Truth. There you go. Those are my most two favorite things on Raw and shit like that. Well, for WWE itself, but yeah. And as far as the fucking Marine, screw the other two. That is like original John Cena and yeah, like The Miz and fucking, I think Randy it's Ted DiBiase and the other one. They fucked that shit up.
I think they fucked up doing the whole movie thing with WWE because it's just like, okay, they don't even look good. And, like,
wait
Barrett's movie. He's in, like, what, one scene?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
I've watched a lot of those movies too. I've never seen the second Marine, and the third one with the Miz was really bad.
I liked the first one.
The first one was good. I thought the first one was good, but I've never seen the second one. The third one had the Miz in it, so I checked it out, and it was.
The one with Ted DiBiase is like all right, but yeah. If I had to choose out of all three of them, John Cena would definitely get number one.
Well, not just that, it was a good-ass movie. I mean, yeah. John Cena is good at everything he does, you know what I mean? He's a good rapper, he's a good actor, he's a good fucking wrestler. I mean,
all five of his moves.
And TK hates him.
He had that six move. Don't forget about that six move when he tried to do that Hurricane Rana horribly.
The Hurricane Rana.
Oh,
where
TK,
he on his back.
TK, you're trying to, you know, do like you're on his side, and yet you hate John Cena. So what the hell are you trying for?
No, I'm making fun of him when he did that Hurricane Rana. That was a dope move when he failed that completely.
That was hilarious how he landed on his back. Dude, that was not a Hurricane Rana.
Yeah, like,
exactly.
I like John Cena, the rapper, more than I like him, the wrestler.
He was a pretty good rapper, yeah.
I wish he would, like, make more music because that album was fresh.
We need to get him on a track.
We need to
get
that album out here tonight.
Yo, if y'all want, I got his DVD. It's Word Life, and, yeah, it's nothing but rapping, so I can hook y'all up on that one. I got some DVDs, like, let me tell you, between, like, horror shows and action shows and WWE shit, Word Life.
Word
they got
Life?
Where he was,
yeah.
Like, dressing up like
remember,
a
that was, like, his original economic
yeah.
shit.
Yep, there you go.
Word Life.
I
didn't
and
even
whenever
watch
he wore, like,
time.
His chain and his, fucking lock and shit, with, yeah. I could hook you up on that one.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's probably the most, like, talented all-around dude there right now is for everything, but they use him so generically the same way over and over. It's just, he's never really...
And they don't do
exciting.
Anything new with his character.
Exactly, yeah. It's just the same
he's
thing.
He's always that
baby
face that nobody
again.
Gives a fuck about.
Yep.
They just make him go bad.
That's what they
can
do.
A little
a
bit.
Heel turn,
yeah.
man. Turn him heel and he'll be on, dude.
Yeah. That's why I started, like, second-guessing John Cena. I was like, oh, shit, I'm going back to Undertaker. Fuck that.
And I mean, just like with him, honestly, it's like, okay, I don't want to see The Rock versus Cena part two. It's like, that was one of the matches, like, okay, it's obvious he's going to win because they have to have Super Cena beat everybody.
Right, yeah. That's the only reason it happened again, I think, was so that he could win. Like,
and I mean, it's like, if it's going to be him versus The Undertaker at this year's WrestleMania, it's like, I'm not watching that match. It won't even be good.
No, they can't do that. They have Cena beat the streak. That would not be cool.
No, it wouldn't.
They can't let that happen.
That would be the dumbest move by Vince yet. I mean, it would have been hilarious if he made Fandango be a male stripper because that would never fit in the PG era. And I should be laughing at how horrible it is.
It would be, yeah. That would be horrible. It would be, especially yeah, now, because they're not anywhere near as edgy as they used to be, so they really couldn't do anything edgy with it, you know?
Exactly. They would just mess everything up with that, and it would have been funny though to watch.
It would have been,
PK,
actually,
I don't think
like,
that's going to happen, you know, like, honestly, that would not happen, because Ric Flair couldn't fucking do it, and Shawn Michaels couldn't do it. You really think they're going to let John Cena break that damn streak? Yeah, okay.
It probably will because he's done everything else.
Probably, it's possible.
He's won money in the bank and lost with that.
I mean, come on now, Ric Flair. I mean, shit, they did not let Ric Flair break it. Like, come on now, you know.
But this wasn't like Ric Flair in his prime. This was like,
yeah,
older Flair, right? So
no, like shit. Ric Flair's on TNA now and shit, and then Mickie James. Like, yeah, once like they
actually,
shit happened,
Ric Flair's not on anything right now.
Yeah, he is. He's on TNA.
I don't really think
so.
I think he's
okay,
more in WWE.
Yeah, okay. There's Jeff Hardy on TNA, there's Ric Flair, and there's Mickie James, and that's the only three, like, I've seen so far. I haven't really been watching wrestling too much myself, but, yeah.
Yeah, that's Ric Flair's definitely not on TNA anymore.
But on TNA,
yeah,
I say fuck all of them, because I'm a Sting fan on TNA, so...
Well, I mean, let's say
have,
like this.
They need
Flair,
to have the Sting and Undertaker match. They need to figure out a way to make that happen.
For real.
Yeah, if that happened at WrestleMania, that would be a match that would sell out easily.
Yes.
Yep.
It needs to happen.
And, I mean, that would probably be like the last Mania match with Undertaker versus Punk. I mean, that was definitely a good match.
That was the best match of the whole show.
Now, you see what I want to see, yo, is Kane and The Undertaker will go at it and let Kane be the one in the damn streak.
Well, he's already tried twice and failed, so why didn't he get third?
Because, like, you know how many of my people would love to see that shit? Like, hell, they'd be there, actually. They'd say, fuck work and shit. I was like, shit, fuck y'all. I go to work if I gotta work.
I didn't like all the shit they did with Paul Bearer passing away, how they used it in the storyline this year. I didn't like that shit at all.
That shit was, oh, Lord. Nah, I agree with you. That's all I'm going to say on that one.
Yeah, and I mean, just like, if you, that match happened again, it was like, okay, that just happened like 10 years ago. So it was like, why would they even do it again?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, if they were going to do a match, I mean, they'd put at least somebody who's a good talent who's not, I mean, like, Kane, he's definitely a good talent. It's just that I think they probably put somebody who's younger with Undertaker who actually knows how to wrestle well. I mean, like, I mean, Punk is definitely a good guy that way.
Right, yeah. Yeah, their match was awesome at WrestleMania.
Like, he knows what moves are going to hurt him too much, so he won't do those kind of moves, but he'll still do moves that still look amazing.
Yeah, right.
Even though they totally fucked up the whole thing with the table at WrestleMania by making the table too sturdy when he was supposed to do that diving move through it.
Right. Isn't that what, like, fucked him up? Hurt his leg or something.
Pretty much, and that's why he's been off forever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at least he's back against Jericho, and I think that that will be a good match, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jericho's been doing really well lately. His matches, as of recently, since he's been back, have been pretty awesome. His, man, I think, didn't he have, I'm trying to think here. He had a really good match, I want to say, with Daniel Bryan, maybe. He had one really, really good one. The shit with him and Fandango is stupid, but I just don't like that Fandango character. Dumb. Reminds me too much of, like, Disco Inferno.
Yeah, I agree. The Fandango character is stupid as hell, but yet it's that stupid song that you can't get out of your head when everyone watches WWE. It's like, god damn it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, even if you're there live, it's like you want to start singing it, even if they're live and you look stupid doing it.
Right.
Okay, I'm gonna change this up a little bit because BK, you already know that I'm bisexual, but I'm gonna change it up for y'all and get y'all off the guy subject because it's a little gay for y'all. But what about divas? Who's y'all favorite?
Yeah, I can barely watch the divas matches. None of those chicks can even wrestle, really, in my opinion. Like, it's hard to watch them. They're fun to look at because they're all, you know, real sexy and shit. But
duh,
I mean, the divas matches aren't fun to watch at all, really. Just like a bunch of fucking botched moves.
Like, I didn't say about them fighting, but like if you had to choose, which one would be your favorite?
Well, AJ right now, I'd say.
Oh, hell no. Die!
Like, I wouldn't even go with one that's a current one. I'd probably say Lita is the best.
Oh, Lita by far.
I mean,
she was
awesome.
Could totally, she could actually wrestle.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. I'm still going
to
go
with
my Ash video.
This has nothing to do with the fact that it was at that Raw where that whole Edge live sex thing happened and the whole huge nip flip happened. I mean, that has nothing to do with that, though.
When a titty popped out or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much. With that fake live sex celebration. I was there live, I was like, yeah, has nothing to do with that? She's one of the hottest divas all around.
Mine?
Yeah.
Hell, I like Ashley. I can't say her fucking last name. That's like a fucking Spanish one. But other than Ashley, even though she went for fucking Playboy, that's dope as hell. I'll give her a props. But I'd have to go with Trish. Trish Stratus. Shit. That's a bad bitch right there. Hey, y'all all got quiet. What happened?
Nobody likes Trish Stratus, I think.
How the fuck can y'all not like Trish?
She's hot. She's one of those that's just like, I didn't think she was ever really like a good wrestler.
It would definitely be Lita. And I don't watch a lot of wrestling, but I know Lita. You know what I mean?
They need to have the Divas division needs to have like a few chicks like Chyna that are in there actually like wrestling dudes and shit. That's what they need.
Absolutely. A Chyna type of wrestler needs to go back into it. That'd be huge.
She tried recently in TNA. It wasn't working. It wasn't working.
Well, yo, at least you tried.
I just remember, like,
that's why
I don't really watch TNA.
That's why I give her props,
because
she, like, tried, yo. Shit, I know. If I was a fucking diva on that bitch, shit, them dudes would be in trouble. I wouldn't give a shit what the fuck the damn rules would be.
Yeah, but how would that work? Because if it's PG, they're not going to let a guy or a girl wrestle, you know what I mean?
Yo, PK, you remember the shit that I've done been through? Like, and I don't even work for fucking WWE that I've had with dudes.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, how would it work with the writers and all that?
Yo, I'd make it work.
Let it happen, but I think it would be more entertaining if it was a bunch of
big, strong chicks
beating the shit out of each other instead of a bunch of, like, you know, little prissy model chicks that are just out there barely doing moves right, you know?
I think it would be cool if it was, like, big-ass dudes, like, Ryback size and, like, little-ass skinny girls and just, like,
basically, Ryback against AJ.
Or, like, Rikishi versus, I don't know, before Rikishi versus, like, one of the Bells wins.
Oh, shit, there
you go.
Yeah,
that'd be fun to see.
That would just be
fun. She'd just
Yo,
disappear.
Fuck that. You'd
yeah.
be like AJ against the Big Show.
It's funny talking all this pro wrestling shit, man. We just did a show not that long ago in Clinton, and the special guest there was Gangrel. And, you know, he was the coolest dude, like, ever. He knew a whole bunch of my music. Like, we were up on stage performing, and Gangrel singing, like, every word to some of the fucking songs. It was crazy. And he was a real cool dude, man. Got drunk with me. You know, I was supposed to be going out to Hollywood to shoot a video with Andy Milonakis, and it ended up not happening. But I mean, Gangrel gave me his phone number and told me whenever I do actually make it out to Hollywood, to just hit him up and he'll kind of show me around like what they're doing out there, because he's got like a wrestling league he's doing with like Rikishi and some other people called like the Territory League or something. And he was telling me they finally just got like, you know, like a TV deal they're working on and a bunch of good shit going for them. So. But yeah, he was cool as fuck, actually. Gangrel, man. I miss the Brood.
Yep. That definitely was a dope stable back in the day.
Yes, it was. Like the original one where they came up out of the fucking Ring of Fire and shit. Oh, they were sick.
And it's nothing like the stupid A Million Stables of the Dream TNA. I mean, I try and watch TNA, but just the fact that it's not like any of the stupid stuff they're doing in TNA with A Million Stables. Like, oh, let's try Main Event Mafia, whatever. Aces and Eights. It's like, okay, just end these storylines. You guys don't know how to do anything right with stables.
Yeah, I tried watching it again recently. I probably watched it for about a month. And, the storylines are just, they're boring, and it's hard to stay wanting to watch it and shit. So. I'm sorry, man.
I mean, I try to watch it sometimes. Sometimes it's like, I can't even watch it. I mean, I record it and try and watch it later. So it's like, I can't even pay attention to it, even if it's recorded. I just get distracted, like, okay, screw this. I'm going to do something else.
In my opinion, fucking TNA is even getting its ass kicked by that NXT show. I'd much rather watch that NXT show than a TNA show.
Yeah, I mean, I can probably agree with that, because, I mean, NXT, they're actually doing something with the people they develop in NXT. I mean, perfect example of that, like the Shield, for example. I mean, even though they're kind of getting annoying, but still, they're doing something. Even though now I think they've all lost a match or something.
Have they lost?
Well, I mean, I think each member's lost a solo match. I think two of them, I think the only person that hasn't lost a match, a solo one, would be Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I just found out, like I saw online the other day, that dude is like The Rock's cousin or something like that. He's related to him. I did not know
Yeah,
that.
He is.
And the dude, Rollins, is from, like, right up around here. He's from Davenport. And he's killing shit. Those guys are good wrestlers, too, but I just think just, like, everything they do over there, they're doing too much of the same thing with them, and they fucking run it into the ground to where I'm not even interested in it anymore.
I mean, it's kind of like, okay, so they're doing their own thing? It's just like, I mean, at least we can definitely see they're good guys in the future and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, this turned into the fucking pro wrestling hour. The last hour.
I haven't said much.
Half of it was interview, half of it was pro wrestling.
That's good by me, man. Easy for me to talk about that shit. These guys, Bloke and Combine, barely watch, so.
Well, hell, we can bring back octopus condoms.
What?
Octopus condoms, whenever he was talking about being the octopus and shit, and then, like, octopus raft or whatever. And he was, like, talking about raft, and I was like, oh, hell, and, like, we got octopus condoms now? I was like, what the fuck is that shit? I was being crazy, weird, and random, like always.
He has common with you.
Wait, what about me?
I said that's common with you.
Yeah, okay. No, quit blowing on my phone, fucker.
Hey. You're blowing on my phone horses. During this whole thing, so it doesn't matter.
You like
but,
it.
But, yeah, it is what it is.
So, yeah.
So, I'm going to ask this
but,
to end this off. Like, who do you guys probably think The Undertaker will be going against this year at WrestleMania?
Who do I think Taker will come back? I feel like it's going to have to be somebody from The Shield. They'll probably build one of those guys up really big. Oh, my phone's about to die. They'll probably build up one of the Shield dudes really big, and that'll probably be who it is, I assume. Just judging from how he left and shit. So.
Probably.
I really don't know.
I guess probably Roman Reigns, because he's the only guy who hasn't lost a singles match yet.
Yeah, and he's like the powerhouse there, so that would make sense.
Even though,
but
originally,
I
think it would probably be Ambrose. I mean, Ambrose, he's kind of talented. It's just like his thing that was like he has to like work on a little bit more.
Yeah, they all need a little bit of development and shit. So, but
I mean, I always thought Ambrose would be the shining dude out of that group, but I mean, I guess we'll see.
Right. Yeah, I thought when they first came out, I was like, keep Ambrose, get rid of the other two dudes, because I was just sick of seeing them come in and do that same shit over and over. But yeah.
I just kind of saw on WWE that they're talking about, like, teasing, like, a fourth member joining the show. It's like, that'd probably be a mistake because the three guys who are in it, they've already done so much, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they can probably, they're better as a group of only three people.
DDP needs to get Scott Hall back in shape, and then the NWO needs to come wipe him out.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, get the NWO,
really
get the
dope.
Ace and the Apes from TNA to invade WWE and get the rat.
Yeah, I read online somewhere that, like, Stephanie McMahon went and had dinner with fucking, what's her name, Dixie Carter or whatever, the TNA chick, to talk some business
yep.
and shit. So hopefully that means that they at least are working out something. I'm hoping they're working out something with Sting. I think that would be the best thing for next year. WrestleMania would be Sting and Undertaker. I think that would be awesome.
Yo, PJ,
well, you know.
Something just popped in my head about you. You want to know what it is?
Let's talk about it later.
No, Leo, we got to talk about it, especially when we got these, the three octopuses in here. Order. I got to figure
what
out a nickname for them. That's the push wraps. There we go. No, listen, you know how you always say, you know what I mean and shit? I'm going to end up coming up with a game for every time you say that we're going to have to do something.
Take a shot.
Or do,
take
like,
shot.
Shots or some shit, yo.
Or,
yeah,
like, my idea for WWE, take a shot every time they talk about the WWE app on Raw.
There you go.
Dude, you wouldn't be able to make it through the first hour of Raw. No way. Take a
shot.
Sure. They mention it so much.
Because they mention it, like, a million times in an episode.
They do. They mention
like,
it, yeah,
have
every,
to have,
like,
three bottles to be able to survive the whole episode of Raw.
Right.
Hell, or
I mean,
watch Storage Wars
or,
when Brandy was like, every time, what's her name, says Laura or whatever, says folks, and they got like the little beer mug on it, shit. That was funny.
I mean, like, you're doing that, you need like three of the 750 milliliter bottles or two of like
1.75.
Right.
Oh, shit, that's tricky.
Of how much they mention it. It's like, shove about already. Nobody's going to get it.
Yeah. Oh, I know one thing. I would not be on shots. I'd have to, like, do, like, a damn bottle. Like, fuck shots.
You'd probably have to have three bottles. We were doing that, seriously.
Yeah,
three.
The app is mentioned way too much.
It is. I should probably just rewatch Raw again and just see how many damn times it was mentioned.
Man, yeah, if that was a drinking game, it'd be rough. I had the WWE app for a bit, but I mean, like, every time I try to vote for something, it's on my phone, so it was all small. I always end up voting for the wrong people for those matches and shit, so I just quit using it. I couldn't even tap the right dude. I always fucked up my vote.
You know, like, okay, what kind of phone you got that you really use it for?
it's like a Samsung, what is this called, like an Axiom or something like that?
Because for mine, like, yeah, it's a smartphone and shit, and, like, sometimes they got, like, the little magnifying glasses, like, with the minus and the plus, and, like, you could zoom in on it and shit, but on a Samsung, I think, like, yeah, you could, there's some way, I forgot, because I used to have a Samsung, but it was, like, a slot and shit, and then, like, yeah, you click, like, the top arrow and shit, and it usually zooms in, but somehow, some way, you can zoom in on it. You just gotta figure it out.
That's alright. I think my one vote doesn't really matter.
Yeah, like, for real. I was about to say that, like, it wouldn't matter anyways.
That's kind of how I think with it. I mean, yeah. I may have it on my iPhone, but, like, who the hell cares? I'm not even gonna vote for it.
Yeah. Well, I know one thing you're gonna care about, and it's your punishment. Like I said, I'm not gonna UBU with you, because, yeah, I'm gonna hit the hay, yo.
Doesn't matter. Because
of what I text you, like, that fucking hurt like hell, and I'm about to watch that now. I swear, yo, it felt like a, like, shit, I don't even know what the fuck it felt like. That shit hurt. I'm gonna shut up. I'm not, okay, yeah.
We'll talk about
up.
This after the interview's done. Wait, I mean, it can end any time now, pretty much.
Yeah. Like, you didn't really, like, yo, you gotta, like, start timing that at the end, like, have a little alarm or some shit, like, to let you know it's, like, the end, because that, your shit
well,
doesn't end.
Well, it actually
end,
does.
Like,
it's, like, through the host line, it will say 90 seconds, 60 seconds. Like, it'll say that.
Well, then when it starts saying 90 seconds, you need to, like, you know, start saying, and we're almost, like, we're, like, 90 seconds to the end of the show or some shit.
Is the show over?
The interview.
I mean, technically it's over, but, I mean, it can always run an hour extra. That's just one of the things that it can do.
That
I mean, basically,
should
be
that. You can, like, do, like, an hour extra.
Well,
yeah,
my phone is actually dying on me, too, right now, so.
Plug it up. Plug it in.
Plug it in. We're sitting out in the garage still.
Plug it up. Plug it in.
Plug it up. Plug it in.
Yeah. Yo, I don't know what it was earlier, but I heard, like, squeaking over there. I would have asked what it was, but, yeah, I cut the perverted shit.
That's probably my chair.
Probably
that didn't
one
sound
of our
like when you were
yeah.
in, it sounded like on their end. I was like, what the fuck?
Well, how do you know it was going to sound on? I mean, it's only a phone interview. And the chair that I have is very squeaky.
Well, that's just it. Nah, it was a mixed interview. Like, we were talking about wrestling and music, and then, like, the basic, well, for me, it's, like, the basics, you know. Like I said, like, to really get to know a person, you know, like, shit. I want to know your favorite food, your favorite color, how old you are, and, like, all that shit, you know. As far as music, I mean, hell, you can go listen to, like, 50 million motherfuckers, you know, or make your own, or, like, shit. You know, me, I'm more of a poem kind of person, but, you know, I've got, you know, shit that you can turn it into a song. I mean, that shit's not hard.
Yep.
Yeah. Other than that, yeah, I don't really care about this shit, you know, but just to hop on and fuck around with PK, yeah, I definitely do it. What's up with that damn hmm?
Tell me what things they do. Don't ask.
I just did ask, and it, yeah, that question deserves an answer.
I said, don't ask why. It's one of the things I've always done.
Well, I did ask why, so what you going to do about that now?
I don't have an answer for it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does matter.
I'll try and figure out an explanation for it later.
sure.
I'll try.
You don't try, just do it.
But, I mean, anyways, it was dope having you guys on the show. Thanks for agreeing
man.
To the interview.
Right. It was fun, man.
It was fun, man.
We'll do it again sometime for sure, dude. It was fun to just kind of get on here and shoot the shit.
Yeah,
next time, we'll have to spend the last hour talking Walking Dead or something so these guys can get involved.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are always welcome to join us, like, anytime you want to call in and whatnot. I mean, oh, like, we got Snug Brim. I think June, I don't remember the exact date, June, like, 7th or 8th.
Dope. Yeah, I did some tracks with him, like, way back in the day when I was first starting. He was always a really, really cool dude. I was glad I got to actually work with, like, him, like, actually sit in the same room with those guys and work on music. It was always fun.
Okay, you just sounded like lame right there. You need to get back on fucking MySpace and shit. Hell, anybody can hit me up on like fucking Facebook and MySpace and shit like that. I'm everywhere.
Say the exact date is, it'll be the 8th, you know, same time we just did this one.
The 8th?
So basically
yeah, dude,
in a week from
I'll
today.
I'll check it out, dude. Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe I'll call in and fuck with you guys and talk wrestling with Snug Brim.
I might not, like I said, y'all, like, if y'all want to hear from me, shit, y'all might as well just go ahead and add me on fucking Facebook or some shit or whatever y'all got. Because, yeah, like I said, I only come over here, like, if y'all enjoy talking with me and having me and shit, yeah. I only come whenever PK's hosting. I don't like the owner, and I don't like the, well, PK's the only co-owner I like, but the other two, goodbye. I'm not scared to admit that shit.
Yep.
PK, what the fuck were you texting me about you-know-who saying I better shush and shit? That motherfucker can either hang up or don't have my name in his mouth.
That,
I was like, you did not tell me
show.
To shush.
Talk about this off the show.
Yeah.
I will start stalking him again. I will get his house number. I will start putting that bitch out like I did
last
time.
Don't do that shit. That's stupid.
Yeah, you gotta admit that was funny. He's like, that bitch got my shit.
Well, hell
anyway.
Yeah, we're gonna get up out of here. We're gonna go work on some music and shit. Go kick it a little bit. So I appreciate y'all having us. Though it's fun. Like I said, we'll do it again for real. We need to.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And like, if you guys want me like shoot you like the info for like you know the Snug Brim interview, which I'm like as of right now it's still down. It'll be a week from today. Well, at least Eastern time, so it'll be the 8th. And you know, just tell me. I'll shoot you guys the info.
Yeah, just shoot it to me in a message on Facebook, bro. That way I don't miss it when you actually post, you know, post it online if I miss it in the timeline or something, so.
Yeah, I'll shoot you the link, and you already have the number now. So, now if you want to call in, you can do it. If you just want to, like, listen, you can do it, too.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, we're getting out of here, bro. You guys take care. Thank you for having us again, man. It was awesome.
Yep, thanks, man.
All right, man.
So, baby. But later.
Later, bro.
Hey, PK, you want me to call you already?
Yeah, do that.
Okay, I'm gonna call you.